This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Sad news. Former Connecticut Senator, Democratic vice presidential nominee in the 2000 presidential election, Joe Lieberman, has died. Lieberman first joined the U.S. Senate in 1989. He was mostly viewed as a centrist Democrat. Most recently, Lieberman was the founding chairman of the No Labels movement, fronting the effort to try to get a third-party unity ticket on the 2024 presidential ballot.
I'm privileged to be the founding chair of a group called No Labels, meaning don't pin Democrat or Republican on yourself as if those labels are what matters most. What matters most is you're an American. You were elected to Congress. You got a responsibility to your country and your constituents.
Despite bucking his party so often, and maybe because of it, Vice President Al Gore chose Lieberman as his running mate in 2000. The first Jewish vice presidential nominee of a major party, his campaign with Gore went into overtime.
To call out one of our closest allies in the world, Israel, a democracy, when it's at war, and tell its people they should dump their prime minister. Wow, talk about crossing a red line. That was a diplomatic red line that I have never in all my years seen crossed.
I proudly nominate as our next Vice President of the United States, Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut.
He just oozed warmth toward everyone and anyone that was ever in his presence. He had wisdom. He had deep, deep reverence for this country.
Shattered glass on the streets of Far Rockaway, where an officer and his partner were stopping a car there when the passenger in the front seat pulled a gun. The officer's partner returned fire, hitting the gunman, but they still scuffled as the gunman dropped his weapon. Jonathan Diller leaves behind a wife and a child and both his parents and a city.
There is no such thing as a routine car stop. Anybody who ever says it has never done it or walked in the shoes of a officer in the police department. Every time you stop a car, there's a chance that your life could be taken.
Officer Diller's family, his brothers and sisters in blue and complete strangers stood shoulder to shoulder tonight, united in grief, immense grief, over the senseless loss of a man, a husband, and a young father who gave his life to serve the city he loved, a promise he made to protect and serve.
He loved what he did. He was born to be a cop. He was born to be a hero. He died being a hero. He died doing what he loved. And I will forever, forever be a better person because of him.
Well, an arrest has been made in the death of NYPD officer Jonathan Diller.
Lindsey Jones was arraigned today on weapons charges. Lindsey Jones was remanded by the judge. It came out in court that he was already out on bail in connection to a separate crime the night officer Diller was shot and killed. Lindsey Jones in Queens Criminal Court basically revealed that he's saying he didn't know the other man that was in the vehicle. Police say he was driving, and he's saying that the man that pulled the trigger was a hitchhiker.
You want to see what the strength of the blue line looks like? They will be thousands, hundreds of thousands of cops lined down Merrick Road from Massapequa to Seaford all the way back into Wantagh. And that is because they're going to come out in support of our brother officer who was killed in the line of duty by some individual who should have spent his life in jail, but is out there and took this officer's life. This one-year-old kid will grow up without a father now because of this.
The horrifying scene in Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, struck by a cargo ship and collapsing overnight.
We've now learned the names of the two victims of the bridge collapse whose bodies were recovered earlier tonight.
It took them a while to secure that vehicle properly, place airbags around the vehicle. Then it was very slow traveling to tow that vehicle to the shoreline. At some point, they realized that the water's depth would not support towing it all the way in. It was at that point the deceased were removed from the vehicle and brought to the shore.
So they are 35-year-old Alejandro Hernandez Fuentes from Baltimore and 26-year-old Dorlian Ronayal Castillo Cabrera of Dundalk.
So people have embraced a talking point because of the random acts of violence. Cybercrime is down 5.6% since the Adams administration took office. But when I speak to those people who are on the train, they say, you must have at least 300 to 400 crimes a day because that's what we're feeling and seeing. So I went to 125th Street and Lexington Avenue last year, and I stood there for about an hour and a half. Now I'm there with uniform officers. We're all standing there doing an observation. I wanted to see what was happening. Around that whole area was disgusting. No lights. It was dirty. They were doing construction for years. I don't even know if they know what the construction project was anymore. And so we sat there. People were walking through the gate, hopping the turnstile. They were saying, it was like the police weren't even there.
Look, I don't know for a fact either way. Neither do you. Neither does anybody except Rotani and the interpreter. I understand that. But I find it very hard to believe that the interpreter, $5 million, and eventually he knew how to come from Otani. So the more I hear about this story, the more I'm starting to believe it is Otani. I know Otani spoke. They've ostracized this guy. The Dodgers fired him. His parents aren't talking to him. He's taking the fall, and so would I. If Otani says to me, shut up, don't say a word, and in 5 years, when this thing goes away, I'll give you $20 million. But it makes no sense to me that the interpreter is gambling upwards of $5 million. So I'm saying I don't necessarily believe Otani.
That's right. This is the opening day of the 2024 Major League Baseball season. Now, of course, it pales in comparison to the biggest story in this city today, which is slain police officer Jonathan Diller. Hard to get too excited about baseball when we've got another week to go to today. But it is opening day for Major League Baseball, and we did end the open. Kevin Drosch, our program director, in for Justin Ehlich today. Ehlich's in D.C. So Drosch put together that open, did a great job. Great job. Ended the open with me talking about Otani. The Dodgers do start their season today like every other Major League team. They'll host the St. Louis Cardinals out in Los Angeles. Now, don't forget, the Dodgers have already played two games because they had that short two-game series in Seoul, Korea last week. Those games counted where they split that two-game set with San Diego. So the Dodgers are already 1-1 hosting St. Louis. And Otani's going to play, but, you know, listening to a bunch of guys the last week or so, from Clay Travis, from Outkick, Rich Eisen yesterday, Michael Greenberg, they're saying what I've been saying from day one, which is, I don't believe Otani. I don't believe it. The interpreter lost $5 million, and then there was a wire transfer. I don't know if you guys ever tried to wire transfer money from the bank. I have. There's a lot that goes into it. You can't just transfer $5 million when you know somebody. Doesn't work that way. So they can get away with BSing all of us. Well, I didn't know, and I trusted them. But there are two things you need to know before we get to Diller, God rest his soul. One is, like I just said, you're not able to wire $5 million without the actual account holder knowing about it. Just not able to do it. No bank will do that. Right off the bat. Secondly, if in fact this interpreter stole $5 million, which Otani is, that's his contention, don't you think at some point Otani would go to the police? Right? He stole $5 million. There is still no police report. Wiring money, no police report. If you really believe that the interpreter lost this money, you are one dumb bastard. That's it. So the Mets are already rained out. They were supposed to host Milwaukee and Queens today. They'll play a three-game set against the Brewers starting tomorrow. Jose Quintana will pitch for the Mets tomorrow. That's not great. No starter named yet for Saturday. And Tyler McGill will toe the rubber for the Mets on Sunday. The Yankees, they do start their season today. It's a four-game set against the Astros in Houston. A lot of folks feel like this could be a real preview of this year's ALCS, the Yankees and the Astros. No Garrett Cole, he's injured. So the Yankees today will throw out Nestor Cortez. Tomorrow, Carlos Rodon, who the Yankees gave a ton of money to last year, coming over from San Francisco, he'll get the start tomorrow. Former New York Met, now New York Yankee, Marcus Stroman will get the start for the Yankees on Saturday. And finally, Clark Schmidt will get the start for the Yankees on Sunday. Just so you know, the Yankees stay on the road for three more after Houston. They go to Arizona to take on the NL reigning champ Diamondbacks before the Yankees come home with their eighth game of the season next Friday night in the Bronx against Toronto. The Mets, they're home from Milwaukee, and then the Tigers come to Queens early next week. So there's your baseball story. Mets, and I believe, Noam, the Phillies and the Braves also rained out, yes?
That is rained out, yeah.
All right, but the big story, of course, is today is the wake for Officer Jonathan Diller. And let me explain to you folks right now, not to make this political, but I'm going to. Let me explain the difference between my friend, President Trump, and that piece of garbage, current President Joe Biden. Not sure you guys know this, but if you don't, both Donald Trump and Joe Biden, both, will be in New York today. Both. Donald Trump, President Trump, is making a special trip to New York to go to Jonathan Diller's wake. He's already donated money. He's already been in contact with the family. He is making a special trip to New York today to go to the wake, which I think is beautiful. And you go, oh, Biden's here too. He's going to go to the wake too, right? No. No. Joe Biden will be in New York today because this son of a bitch has a fundraiser. A fundraiser. Barack Obama's coming. Bill Clinton is coming. Lizzo. Stephen Colbert. All these horrible Americans. So while Donald Trump will be standing shoulder to shoulder with Jonathan Diller's grieving wife, Joe Biden is going to be charging an inordinate amount of money at some stupid fundraiser in our city, which will be attended by all those losers I just mentioned. That's the theme of my show today, folks. Two presidents one after another. One is here for a slain cop's funeral. The other douchebag is here to raise money. That says a lot, Noam, no?
That it does. It speaks volumes.
And yet you still hate Trump, still.
I've never discussed whether I like Donald Trump or not.
I heard you. I actually heard you.
When did you hear me say that?
It doesn't matter, but I heard it off the air.
When was that?
Oh, my God, 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times. I don't know. Many times.
I think you're imagining it.
No, I don't think I am. But I think these are the types of things, on a serious note, no, that will turn people around. These are the types of things that make people say, one guy cares, right? When Joe Biden was taking pictures in the garden in Ukraine with Zelensky, sorry, Pete King, Donald Trump was in East Palestine, Ohio. One guy clearly cares, and one guy doesn't. So that's the political aspect of this. Now, on the tragedy side, let me tell you who a hero is today. You ready for this, Noam?
Yeah.
This guy's a hero. His name is Vincent Vallelong. You know who he is?
I don't know. Who's that?
He is the SBA president.
Okay.
And Vincent Vallelong, the SBA president, sent out a memo yesterday where he specifically called out this repulsive city council speaker, Adrian Adams, who Eric Adams not that long ago said, my sister from another mother, and the public advocate, Jumaane Williams. His point was, and I love him for this, he said, quote, these people are as morally responsible for police officer Diller's death as the career criminal who pulled the trigger. That's a very, very tough statement, but he's right. He goes on to say the council members who are vehemently and inexplicably against public safety are responsible for the carnage in the streets and the heartbreak brought about by P.O. Diller's completely avoidable death. So, why is Vallelong so upset besides the obvious? Because if you went onto social media yesterday, Jumaane Williams, for example, put something on his social media where he was sad about Jonathan Diller being killed. So Vallelong says, quote, as I read the news and social media posts written by many New York City Council members, it enrages me how hollow and untrue their words of sympathy and empathy are. Despite their admissions to the contrary, the leadership in the council has failed city residents, workers, and visitors at every turn. They are blinded by their own hatred and twisted ideology. So he's saying, hey, Agent Adams, don't come today. Don't come today. Don't come tomorrow. Don't come to the funeral on Saturday. Hey, Jumaane Williams, don't come today. There's more. Justin Brannon, Mr. Moneybags. He's a guy that also defunded the police. He shouldn't come either. So what happens is this poor kid, 31 years old, father of a one-year-old, is dead, and now they all act like they care. So congratulations to Vincent Vallelong. Try to get him on today, Drosh, for calling out these lying scumbags that are all over this city. See, the mayor, he does care. As critical as I am about Adams, I'm not a complete idiot. He cares. He's not a bad guy. He cares. The problem with me and the mayor is that I'm tired of hearing his speeches. I'm tired of the mayor telling me about recidivism. I'm tired of the mayor talking about severe mental illness. I'm tired of the mayor telling me and New Yorkers, basically, it's your perception. These random acts of violence are not nearly as big in numbers as you think they are. I'm tired of all of it. As I said yesterday, go to Albany, camp out, punch somebody across the face, literally and figuratively, and act like you care. Above and beyond, crying at the podium, all that stuff, which is at this point, boring. Do something and act like you care. I mean, you got this guy, Carl Heastie, the assembly speaker. This is one of the biggest pieces of garbage God ever created. And just yesterday, Carl Heastie said, nope, we're not changing a thing. Because statistically, even though Diller is gone, you can't prove to me statistically that changing bail reform is going to make a difference. He also refused yesterday to back tougher sentences for criminals who attack retail workers. Did you know that, Noam?
I saw that, yeah.
I mean, what kind of piece of garbage is this Carl Heastie?
It's amazing that the mayor doesn't push back. I don't get it. He started to when he took over, when he won the race. He went to Albany. He said he was going to try to fix things. And you can make a clear correlation between the time that bail reform law went into effect and what's happened since. So I don't know how he makes the argument that if we went back to what it was before, that nothing would change. It doesn't hold water.
No, I agree with you. And again, I'm not saying, you know, Eric Adams shouldn't be there today because he does care. Unlike Jamani Williams, Adrian Adams, he's upset. But he's not doing his job. The bottom line is he can beat his chest all he wants. I'm not stupid. And it doesn't matter how much I like you or don't like you. It doesn't matter whether your heart's in the right place or not. If the team doesn't win games, the coach gets fired.
How did he get there anyway? How did he get into office? How did he get this position?
What? Really?
I mean, I know.
Wiley?
I know. It's ridiculous. It's insane.
It is. So last night they held not one but two vigils for Officer Diller. Tell us about that, Noam.
Yeah, there was one in Massapequa Park, Long Island, in Brady Park. And really a moving ceremony, hundreds of people showing up with candles, some of his fellow officers speaking, family members were there. And then there was one in Queens that happened a little earlier in the day that was near his precinct that he worked out of. Also a ton of people showing up to that one as well and speaking really highly of the officer.
His brother-in-law was a guy that made me cry this morning, his brother-in-law. You know, Pat Ryder joined me on this show just yesterday, the really great Nassau County Police Commissioner. But right before he joined me, he was on with Brian Kilmeade on Fox News on television. And here's what Pat Ryder had to say. Let's start with cut number one, Lewis. Once again, Nassau County Police Commissioner, my friend Pat Ryder.
These are not normal people. These people don't deserve to be out there. The fact that you think you can get away with assaulting a police officer in this great city of New York is unfathomable. The fact that the Nassau County, Suffolk County, everywhere in the state of New York, that they were getting assaulted by individuals that we stop in car stops or going down the street, throwing things at us, a couple of years ago, throwing the water and the liquid on top of the officers, it's unheard of. You can't allow someone to attack what stands for justice. That is us. We stand for law and order. We stand for the quality of life here in Nassau County, in New York City, in Suffolk County. But at the end of the day, if you let the bad guy out, the bad guy's going to keep doing what he does.
And like he says here, Lewis, in cut number two, these two lowlives, Jones and Rivera, should have been in jail. Cut number two.
Both of those perps should have been in jail. They both spent one spent 8 years, one spent 12 years in the system. While in the system, they assaulted a correction officer. They don't deserve to walk the streets out there in New York City, Long Island, anywhere in this country. It's a bigger picture because it's bail reform. It's letting the prisoners out. The revolving door of the 80s has come back. We've lost support for the men and women of law enforcement, and we lost support when it comes to the tools that used to be in the toolbox. They're no longer there for us.
I keep saying, Mayor Adams, go to Albany, go to Albany, go to Albany. Pat Ryder, Lewis, cut number three.
I don't think the people in Albany get it. I don't think they're ever going to get it. I think that we have to put pressure on Albany to make changes. It's got to come from the other local politicians that are out here. You heard Mayor Adams yesterday, and he came out against bail reform, against things that are hurting his community here in New York City, hurting his cops. Bad guys deserve to be in jail. That's where they belong. Let's keep them there.
Then he goes on to talk about, you know, how many times cops go over to a car and it seems like it's a routine car stop. According to Pat Ryder, there's nothing routine about it. Cut number four.
There is no such thing as a routine car stop. Anybody who ever says it has never done it or walked in the shoes of a officer in the police department. Every time you stop a car, there's a chance that your life could be taken.
And finally, as Noam pointed out, those two massive tributes last night, one in Queens by the precinct, where Mr. Diller, God rest his soul, worked, and of course the big one, Brady Park in Massapequa Park. You could expect the next 3 days, the wake today, the wake tomorrow, and the funeral on Saturday. This is a real number. Hundreds of thousands of people will show up for Officer Diller. Finally, Pat Ryder, cut number five.
Tomorrow, you want to see what the strength of the blue line looks like? Tomorrow, there will be thousands, hundreds of thousands of cops lined down Merrick Road from Massapequa to Seaford all the way back into Wantagh. And that is because they're going to come out in support of our brother officer who was killed in the line of duty by some individual who should have spent his life in jail, but is out there and took this officer's life. This one-year-old kid will grow up without a father now because of this.
Pat Ryder, good job. So, again, let me just say what I said right after the baseball conversation. The difference between two presidents, the current president, Joe Biden, is in New York today. He couldn't care less that Diller is dead. He is part of a party that is contaminated with folks who want to defund the police. Why is Biden here? He's got a fundraiser. You're going to be hanging out tonight with Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Lizzo, Stephen Colbert, all these losers. But Donald Trump is also coming to New York today, and Donald Trump is coming to go to the wake. Biden, fundraiser, Trump, there for the Diller family. I think the choice is pretty obvious come November, folks. You got one guy who doesn't care, and one guy who does. Big show coming up today, waiting on Bruce Blakeman. Bill O'Reilly's going to be here. I'm going to talk to Curtis Sliwa, the great one himself, a surprise guest in the 9 o'clock hour. Folks, I know it's early. Say your prayers for the Diller family, a true hero here in New York, and we'll come back right after this.
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning. Friends, how many of us have
them? Friends. 77 WABC.
Reach out, touch faith.
Think about it. How embarrassing is it that CNN right now is promoting with this moron Matt Gorman Biden's fundraiser tonight with Clinton and Obama in New York when the whole city's in mourning? President Trump is coming here to go to a wake, and these people at CNN are all excited about some overpriced dinner with a bunch of lousy former presidents. And the guy now who's the worst president ever, CNN is excited And we're about to bury another police officer.
Don't think the timing could really be better, right?
I mean, geez.
That's amazing.
Well, again, I go back to that day in East Palestine. If you put the pictures side by side, Biden was sucking up to Zelensky again. And I don't care what Peter King or, and he tells me, well, you know, Walsh agrees with me, Brian Kilmer. I don't care who agrees with you. I don't trust anything this president does in Ukraine. He's compromised. His kid has made millions, maybe the president too, working for some stupid energy company in Ukraine. I have no idea what the relationship is really all about. None. But do the side-by-side picture. There are still people, God bless them, who are still glowing in the dark in Pennsylvania from all the chemicals and toxins. And Trump was there, giving out McDonald's, handing out water. He was there. And again today, at the wake, Trump is going to be there. Biden going to be wearing a tux with a bunch of assholes in New York City. Well, way to go, Mr. Prez. Look at you, huh? And Joe Lieberman had to die? He's the one that had to die? 82-year-old beautiful Jewish man?
He was a really good person.
He was a great guy.
Really good.
You remember his wife, Hadassah, too?
Yes. Yes. They were just classy, great, good people.
I guess so.
Senator Lieberman.
Oh, I think Hadassah's still alive. I'm not sure. But at any rate, Frank Morano, according to Noam Layden, just had Lieberman on Friday.
He did. Yeah, Friday he was on to talk about the No Labels party, which is
stupid.
He headed that party.
A stupid God. He would come on, I'd never talk about that. Like, I'm not talking about RFK. I actually sent a note to Trump's people. I'm like, tell the president, don't waste your time. Who cares about Kennedy? Who cares about Shanahan? If anything, that's going to help Trump. Because you may have 15 Democrats who vote for Kennedy instead of Biden. It's a non-story. Non-story. But the No Labels is really a non-story. So I would bring Lieberman on. We'd never talk about that. But I was so happy to hear Lieberman go after Chuck Schumer. Well, that was great. One Democrat going after another because Lieberman put his Judaism first, which Schumer doesn't do. Bernie Sanders doesn't do. What did, give me some of these cuts anyway, so Morano window. You got those on him?
If you give me a second, I can get them.
Yeah.
Here he was talking. Frank asked him if he was going to run himself. Here we go.
You might be the No Labels person with the most name recognition on a national basis right now. Is there any chance that you might be the candidate?
Oh, I'm going to quickly answer the second question first. No chance. I'm going to be on my running days and happy to be part of this organization. Frankly, happy to try to shake up the political system.
All right. And we'll play one more. I just wanted to give Frank a little highlight there. Couldn't care less about No Labels, but good job by Frank. This is the actual audio from the late, great Senator Lieberman on Neil Cavuto's show last week. That's another a-hole, where he called out Chuck Schumer. This, Lewis, is Senator Lieberman, cut number 19.
But I think it was outrageous, and I think really it was a case of a high elected official in the U.S. taking advantage of a friend. And you wouldn't do this with a casual ally or certainly an enemy. But to call out one of our closest allies in the world, Israel, a democracy, when it's at war, and tell its people they should dump their prime minister. Wow, talk about crossing a red line. That was a diplomatic red line that I have never in all my years seen crossed. And it is outrageous. I've been following the polls in Israel. The truth is that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not popular right now, and his right-wing government is not popular.
Not true.
But if you ask the people of Israel, is Netanyahu following the right policy in Gaza, trying to destroy Hamas, the answer is overwhelmingly positive.
That is true.
So Chuck Schumer is asking the people of Israel to do something totally contrary to what their opinion is.
All right, good job there, Joel Lieberman. Great man, God rest his soul. I guess he fell Noam, what exactly happened to Joe?
They're not saying, but he died here in the city, so I don't know if they had an apartment here in the city or if he fell in Connecticut and they brought him to a hospital here. I'm guessing they'll release more details today.
And, of course, Joe Biden just, what, 2 days ago in North Carolina, making a speech about health care. These pro-Palestinians started yelling, "What about the health care in Gaza?" And instead of Joe Biden showing a set of balls and saying, "Hey, hey, scream again, you're out of here." You know what he did? He goes, "Oh, you got a point. You got a point." Thank God Mike Pompeo and a host of others are calling out Biden. But this story is one that makes me happy. I'm sure you too know. The New York Post. How about this? Tearing down pro-Israel flyers would become a crime in New York under GOP proposal. What did I just say, Noam?
You said that tearing down Israeli posters would be a crime here in New York.
Under what? Under GOP.
Right.
Which not
means,
Democrat.
Right.
Under GOP proposal to combat anti-Semitism. Why hasn't the mayor done this? Well, and the mayor cares. He's got meetings every night. Gracie Mansion, 2 nights ago, he honored Persian Jews. He's got the whole month of Jewish heritage. Why didn't Mayor Adams do this? Why does it take? Oh, because Republicans care. Tearing down pro-Israel posters and flyers would become a misdemeanor under a package of laws proposed by state Senate Republicans in response to a wave of anti-Semitism. The laws unveiled yesterday would also prohibit the removal of pro-Jewish flyers and posters, a common scene in the wake of the Hamas terror attacks back in October. Quote, this comes from Senate Republican Minority Leader Robert Ort. New York is home to the largest Jewish population outside of Israel, and it is incumbent upon us to take action to ensure nobody is ever made to feel unsafe because of their religion. The slew of bills would also define anti-Semitism under the state human rights law and make it easier to prosecute anti-Semitic acts such as incitement of violence or vandalism as a hate crime. So that's great. My question is, why did it take so long, Robert Ort, with this brilliant idea? But hey, you know what they say, Noam, better late than never.
You know, I keep meaning to introduce you to a friend of mine who's a big corporate CEO in this neighborhood. He walks around the city on his lunch break with a metal scraper, and he scrapes off the anti-Israel stickers off of, like, utility poles and signposts.
Oh, my God, good for him.
I mean, he's crazy. And this won't reveal who he is, but he works across the street from us, and so he sees these Palestinian protests that happen outside our office all the time, because we're next to Chuck Schumer's office.
Yeah.
And when he does, he says he'll stand out on his balcony of his office with an Israeli flag and wave it to them just to drive them crazy.
Who is this guy?
I don't want to say his name because he probably doesn't want it out there, but I'll introduce you to him.
Oh, I love that. Well, there is some more news out of Israel, I guess. You know, the other day, after Biden decided not to veto the UN resolution decision for a ceasefire. Let me just assure you folks who are like me that don't want a ceasefire, it ain't happening. Again, just yesterday, Israel and Hamas broke off talks about a potential ceasefire. It's not happening. But you know that Netanyahu actually decided not to send the delegates. He did send one guy, very important guy, mind you. But a lot of the delegates remained in Israel, did not come to D.C. because Biden refused to veto. I guess now they're talking about sending the delegates. Is that right, Noam?
That's what I've heard. The delegation, as of yesterday, the delegation was back on to come to Washington. Now, I don't know if that's still going to happen, but that was what the White House said yesterday.
All right. Is that the latest, basically, with Israel?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the war continues. We don't hear a whole lot about it here because it, you know, the longer it goes on, the less we hear about it. But of course, still just a big issue in Israel. I mean, there's still, the soldiers are still in Gaza. Whether they go into Rafah, we just don't know.
All right. We got a bunch of good guests coming up, including the great Curtis Sliwa, who'll start us off at 7:15. 3 or 4 other great guests, including Bill O'Reilly. But it is at 6:47 on your rainy Thursday morning. Time for our first look at traffic here in New York City. He's the best in the business. Joe Nolan, good morning, Joseph.
Hey, good morning, Sydney. Good morning, everybody. And as you travel out onto the FDR Drive, we've got all kinds of problems from the RayCatina.com traffic desk. If you're southbound on the drive, we're slow from the 140s all the way down into the 70s. Now, there was an earlier accident there. That has now been cleared up and out of the way. But still, nonetheless, you've got delays southbound on the drive from the 140s all the way down into the 70s. Now, on the Deegan, a new one northbound in the 130s, an accident with one lane out. Now, a few problems in New Jersey. Still have that flooding westbound on Route 3. The right lane is out. You can still get by this whole thing without a problem. Northbound Route 18, the ramp to southbound Route 1, there's an accident. Then also on Route 22 out North Plainfield, West End Avenue, right out by that big Costco, there is an accident there again. Mass transit-wise, everybody on or close to schedule, and alternate side is suspended. If you're looking for a luxury vehicle at a great value, consider a certified pre-owned Jaguar sedan or SUV from Ray Catena. Choose from a wide selection of Ray Catena Jaguar of Edison, Jaguar Marlboro, and enjoy special limited-time financing on all in-stock models. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Well, opening day, it is here. Major League Baseball kicks into full swing today. 13 games on the schedule. The action starts with the Angels facing the Orioles in Baltimore. The Yanks visit Houston. Two games have already been postponed, though, due to the rain. The Brewers-Mets game out at Citi Field washed out. Same for the Braves-Phillies in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's one less loss for the Mets. One less loss.
This is true. So they are still undefeated, the Mets, as of this morning.
Well, they're also winless, but yeah.
Oh, that's true. Dodgers are locking up their catcher, long-term deal. Los Angeles signing Will Smith, 10-year deal, $140 million extension that runs through the 2033 season. March Madness continues today. The Sweet 16, four games tip off. Arizona taking on Clemson. North Carolina battles Alabama. UConn faces off against San Diego State. Iowa takes on Illinois. The Knicks scoring their biggest win of the season, destroying the Raptors 145-101 in Toronto last night.
I got to jump in here. I got to quote my old friend, the great Warner Wolf.
That's right.
If you had the Toronto Raptors and 43.5 last night, much like Otani, you lost.
That's right. Miles McBride, he led all scorers, 29, dished out 7 assists. The Nets, they took on the Wizards, 122-119 overtime at the Capital One Arena. And speaking of the Wizards and the Capitals, they will stay, apparently, in D.C. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser signing a deal with the Wizards Capitals yesterday. It'll keep the two teams in D.C. till 2050. The agreement comes on the very same day the city of Alexandria announced talks to try and bring those teams to Virginia. Noam Layden, WABC Sports. Sports is brought to you by Peerless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heater. Go to peerlessboilers.com or paviliontankless.com to find a dealer near you. Peerless Boilers, the world's best built boilers.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning. 77 WABC.
Like this, so my dear friend Pete Morgan, the great Pete Morgan, who of course is Mr. Peerless Boilers, and he sponsors the sports reports on this show. He sponsors everything, you know, great guy. So he just texted me, And he said, and I quote, because Alec is out today. Noam's doing sports.
Well, I can tell what this is going to be about.
This is not going to be good,
no,
is it?
No, no, no. It's going to be good for you, I think. I have a feeling.
Once again, Lewis is on the money.
Yeah, there's no, it's Sid tipped it off right away.
Here's Morgan's quote. Alec may have just lost his spot.
Yeah, easy.
Justin Pip. Oh, the Wally Pip reference. Lou Gehrig. Oh, he went Justin Pip on him. So there you go, Noam.
I feel bad because I actually butchered a little bit of his copy, as but maybe he didn't notice.
And even with butchering it,
yeah,
according to Pete, you were still better. So,
no, Justin,
what does that say about
job?
Justin?
Justin's fantastic.
Yeah.
But you see, Pete, in his little inimitable fashion, he's how nice a guy he is. He still likes to put a little paprika in the pot and
stir the pot a little bit. Sure.
Pete Morgan's too nice a guy. That's not. No, he means something good.
Yes.
But Justin's going to come back.
Justin's great. Justin is great.
Of course he's great.
I had to yell at Justin yesterday, though, for a couple of things, but that's okay.
What did he do?
Well, he'll do this. He'll be like, last night on the hardwood, the Knicks beat the Raptors 145-101 last night. And I'll say, well, hold on a second. You just said last night on the hardwood. Don't say last night again. Or when he introduces the guests in the morning, he'll be like, and coming up this morning at 7:45, making his weekly visit, Bruce Blakeman this morning. I said, wait a second. You just said, I go, you got to understand, the less words, the better. Keep the words to a minimum. So he'll say this morning three times. You know, or he'll say last night. That's all. I mean, these are very, very small things. He's got a good pace, got a good voice. He knows his stuff.
They're subtle.
But I get annoyed by subtle stuff.
It's, as Bernie would say, the intangibles.
Right. There you go. Right. But there's no reason for Noam and Pete Morgan to be kicking the guy in the ass. He's not even here. I mean, that's shameful on your part.
It really is.
My God, you want his job? See, what is with Noam is, he's never gotten over that me and Bernie had him fired a couple years
ago. No, I have not.
So now he wants to get everybody else fired, because he can't fire me, obviously.
Right.
But he wants to get everybody else fired, because for him that's some sort of payback.
Right, one by one. Start with Justin.
It's turned into like a sort of confession right now about how everybody really feels about each other. No, I hate Justin Sid, hate Snow. The morning sun is rising, it's kissing the day. Oh, the wheel in the sky keeps on turning. I don't know where I'll be tomorrow.
For tomorrow. Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice. Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
You're my best friend. This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
For my friends.
77 WABC.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm.
Doors classic, Riders on the Storm. So just so you know, there is a theme for today's show, and that is the difference between two presidents. Before I get to the great Curtis Sliwa, the guy that's the president right now, in many people's opinions, including mine, the worst president in the history of this country. Worse than the guy O'Reilly keeps bringing up. I forgot his name. I don't care. The Civil War guy. He's the worst, Biden. The worst. So he's going to be in New York today. Oh, isn't that nice? He must be going to Jonathan Diller's wake, right? No. He's going to be at Radio City Music Hall with this collection of losers. Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Fat Lizzo, Stephen Colbert. Just
Queen,
horrible.
Queen Latifah.
Queen Laquifa. They're all going to be at Radio City. And I saw the pro-Palestinians put out a flyer, and they've got the eyes of the three presidents, Clinton, Obama, and Biden, blacked out. They've got plumes of smoke like a bomb explosion behind them, and they're asking these animals to go out there today and make that Radio City Music Hall experience a bad one. And I hate the pro-Palestinians. I hate them. They're not doing anything good. This is not a First Amendment deal. They are, in my opinion, criminals, haters, defending murder. But with that said, if they can F up one event and only one, make it happen today. Make it happen. Make Biden, Obama, Clinton, make them all miserable. I'm actually rooting for them today. That's how much I hate them. So Biden is here in New York, but he's going to a fundraiser. My friend, President Donald Trump, he's also coming to New York. You know where he's going? He's going to slain officer Jonathan Diller's wake. You see the difference, folks? I said it a lot in the 6 o'clock hour. I'm going to say it all morning long. President Biden in New York at a fundraiser with a bunch of losers. President Trump in New York for the slain police officer's wake. Are we even debating at this point who's the better choice? I'm not going to go into the politics around the world, in this country, the economy, none of that. Nah. A Democrat party that hates Jews, hates police, none of that. Just today alone. Just look at their priorities. One guy raising money, one guy there for a dead police officer. That's all you need to know. Curtis Sliwa is a great guy, and he's got heart, like Trump. Because I can tell you this, the man who gets big ratings doing the Rip and Weed noon to one every weekday afternoon, big ratings hosting weekend overnights, and does a tremendous job, not good, tremendous, with me every morning. You know where he was last night, like Trump? He was at that candlelight vigil, Brady Park, Massapequa Park, with my friends Peter King, Bruce Blakeman, and thousands of others, because he cares. So with that said, here he is, the icon, the legend, Mr. Gordon Angel himself, Curtis Sliwa. By the way, Curtis, happy Holy Thursday.
Yeah, we're going to get to that momentarily.
Oh, don't you start now. I know tomorrow's Good Friday, well, Sunday's fact, Easter Sunday.
Let's just get
oh, hold on. I used to go to Doria's Restaurant, thank you, in Hallandale every Easter Sunday with the great Iovine.
But I do not want you saying this anytime tomorrow.
Jesus Christ! What?
We will have flashbacks. Yeah. Hide, Jews hide tomorrow.
Yeah.
From us who have flashbacks to watching Mel Gibson's, you know, Passion of the Christ.
Oh, God.
Where we blame you guys for crucifying Jesus Christ.
I told you this yesterday. I made a speech for Bernard Saturday night in front of the Long Beach Catholic School. All nuns and priests. And it took me three words to say the F word, which I had to apologize for. So I'm apologizing now. But when I screamed that yesterday, It was because I was angry at the mayor. So I figured you were going to give me a mulligan. No mulligan?
No.
Holy week, no good?
I'm angry at the mayor, too, because on my birthday, as you aptly pointed out, I went up to 125th Street where that poor soul was pushed in front of a train. Well, the mayor was telling us it's perception, it's recidivism, random acts of violence, crime is down. He even admitted there were six cops at that station, and they still weren't able to do anything because he just doesn't get it. He's got to look into the eyes of the cops, Sid. I'm going to get into it momentarily because I was at another situation late last night when I was coming home from Brady Park. In Massapequa Park, oh, great town. Those towns out there, magnificent. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to explain why we're losing this war. All you got to do is look in the eyes of our cops here in NYPD. As I looked into the eyes of the cops from Nassau County yesterday, led by their Commissioner Ryder, their county executive, Bruce Blakeman, and in many references, the ghost of Nassau County, but he's alive and well, Peter King. I got there early. I took the Long Island Railroad, as I told Brian Kilmeade I would, on his show yesterday, because he takes the Long Island Railroad all the time.
Every day.
All the time.
He lives right there in Massapequa Park.
So Peter King was there early, meeting and greeting a lot of parents who had buried their children, and their children were cops. He knew them all. He knew what precincts in the city. I mean, Peter King was there, and let's just say he was there to meet and greet all those parents who had come there to grieve the loss of Jonathan Diller, as many had come to grieve the loss of their sons years past. I was really moved by Peter King. I was moved by the ceremony. It wasn't overdone, as I've been in many police officers' funerals and commemorations, which all the politicians, they get up on the stage and they grandstand. And, you know. Way too much.
I remember when I went to St. Patrick's Cathedral, and I sat with the late, great Joe Esposito.
Yeah.
When Moya and Rivera were gunned down by another crazy African-American guy in Harlem. And they all spoke. And I remember the only one that touched me, ironically, was Keyshawn Sewell, the former police commissioner. The governor went on too long. The mayor was okay. But for the most part, yeah, keep it short, man. Unless you know the person.
Look, it was actually good that Gabarino and D'Esposito were in Rome, having visited the Pope, because they weren't there to speak. So it was really Bruce Blakeman, short, sweet, to the point, very noble, I might add. The crowd was taken by his words. There were a few others, and then, as you mentioned, the brother-in-law of Jonathan Diller.
Oh, that was tough.
You let the family speak at these events, not the politicians.
That's right. In fact, the Esposito service at St. Patrick's, his daughter spoke, and that was very tough to watch.
Police Commissioner Ryder, who exudes strength. But again, at this ceremony, bringing together Nassau County, bringing together Massapequa Park, pro-cop, many of them who had grown up with us. They left Brooklyn and Queens. They were our neighbors, Sid. They fled the city. They're crying about what's happening in our city. And I must tell you, there was a gentleman who showed up with a cane, a guy named Vinnie Farrell from the Irish Riviera. Doesn't live far from you. Has as many sons as the Sullivan brothers, seven sons. He brings me a jersey. Peter King had already left to the podium. He would have liked this. From Brooklyn Prep. I got kicked out of there by the Jesuits. Peter King graduated. When I was on the football team, number 84, he was the fullback. He was the middle linebacker. I was the flanker. I was the outside linebacker. And we reminisced, and he just said, I had to come out here. He has a cane now. You know, it reminds me how we're all getting older. Even the loss of Joe Lieberman, a fall took his life. He's 82. A fall.
Yeah.
This happens so often with our elderly.
Oh, Biden falls all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. One more wouldn't hurt.
It reminded me when I was playing football that we could look in the eyes of our adversaries. When we played Poly Prep, your school.
Yeah, we kicked their ass.
They're
every
right.
time.
Monsignor Frau, when we played them in Staten Island, we knew we were going to lose. You could look in the eyes of your adversaries and then look at the eyes of your fellow teammates and know you had no chance that day. That's the feeling I had last night when I was returning. I ended up taking the train from 34th Street Penn Station that was delayed because there was a stabbing and a robbery at 59th Street Columbus Circle.
Is that right?
When I got there, there was blood everywhere, cops everywhere.
You saw the blood?
I sent a video to you. I sent a video to...
I didn't see it.
I sent it to you. I sent it to our friend out there, Noam Layden, who forgot that I actually went and spoke up for him with management when you wanted him fired. And I
no,
actually...
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You were right there with me.
No,
Bernie.
I wasn't. No, I wasn't. And Noam knows that. I was the only one who went in there to save Noam Layden. You Am I what? Right or wrong, Noam?
You may have because Juliet Huddy ended up working with you, so...
And I did you a solid because you guys weren't getting along with her.
I know, that's right.
It served you right that you got her, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway...
So, did the guy die?
I don't know what they got away.
No, the guy who got stabbed.
No, this is what I'm saying. I'm there. I'm going crazy that they got like 20 cops there because District 1 is right upstairs. It's right in the video. What happened? Guy got stabbed. They were arguing over money. Broken bottle. Stabs the other guy. They got away. And I looked into the eyes of the cops, and these are good cops, Sid. But you can see. They've given up. They don't have that in them, like I saw in Nassau County. I saw those cops, proud, you know, yeah, we're cops. And I see our cops, almost like because their politicians have abandoned them. You just look in their eyes.
That's why you got to love Vincent Vallelong, again, the SBA president, who's going to join me coming up right after Bruce Blakeman. We got Blakeman coming up at 7:45, then Vallelong at 8:15. When he comes out yesterday, it's in today's New York Post. You'll love this, Curtis. And he says, hey, Agent Adams. Hey, Jamani Williams. Justin Brannon. All you city council folks that are okay defunding the cops. All you folks that act as if you care. Do us a favor. Don't. Come.
And not only that, let me add on to that. These are the same people who demand that the cops have to live in the city, even though it's unaffordable. Oh, so Jonathan Diller is not a hero because he chose to raise his family in Massapequa Park, which is a cop-friendly community? I was out there last night, thousands. They love WABC. They love you, Sid. They love us. We're part of their family. I felt so good at a time of tragedy. My tooth came out. I got to go to Dr. Gordon today. I got an abscess tooth. I didn't even feel that pain. But what they kept mentioning as I made the rounds, Todd Kominsky did this. Bernard McGurk every day until he died when he could come on with you said, we got to unelect Todd Kominsky, our own guy, who was the author of bail reform, no cash bail. And then...
My concern is a vibrant city.
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
And then they savaged Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo.
They did?
Savaged him. I want you to hear from 2019. I hope he has it.
In America, you are still innocent until proven guilty. And that's whether you're black or white. That's whether you're rich or poor. We're going to end the cash bail system once and for all. We're going to do it in New York. And we're going to do it this year.
And they did.
See, what's funny about you is, that's why I love you, you're running for mayor again.
Yes.
And you're the obvious choice, just like Trump is, okay? But you've come to the realization, which I keep trying to drill into your head, that you're not going to be going up against Eric Adams, because he's not going to win. The guy you're going up against is Cuomo. So all of a sudden, the last couple of weeks, I noticed that there's more and more anti-Cuomo sound. Because I think now you have come to the realization that Cuomo is going to destroy Adams, and you have to beat Andrew Cuomo to be the next mayor.
I welcome that battle. He is the author of No Cash Bail. Jonathan Diller's blood is on the hands of Andrew Cuomo. He's never apologized for that.
Agreed.
Congestion pricing, he goes, yeah, I'm the author of that, but not now. Why doesn't he address that? Why do we let him come on WABC all the time? The author of No Cash Bail. Everybody rails about it. No cash bail. No cash bail.
When he comes on, he's going to say this. And all I'm doing is delivering the message. Don't get mad at me. He's going to say that he wanted in No Cash Bail the judges, he wanted the judges to have discretion. And they took that away from him. That wasn't his choice. And if he wasn't removed when he was ready to fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fight.
I'm just telling you.
In a paper bag, right? Fight himself out of it. This sanctimonious hypocrite. Two names resonated in that crowd. Their own son, Todd Kominsky.
Yeah.
Who was the Judas. Hate to mention that, you know, right before Good Friday,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, come on. That's
tonight,
as bad as
tonight was
Jesus.
The Last Supper, right? Last yeah. Supper, Judas, traitor of Todd Kominsky, their traitor, and Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo. Now, this is a solemn occasion, and people are coming up to me and saying, this is the reason for all
and
this.
And I'm okay with all of that, but the truth is, Todd Kominsky didn't win, okay? Laura Corin lost to Bruce Blakeman, set to join me in 20 minutes. And Andrew Cuomo has been out of office for years. So while they're both guilty, 100% guilty, what about these assholes in charge now? What about Carl Heastie? What about Andrea Stewart Cousins? What about the governor, Kathy Hochul? What about, to a certain extent, the mayor who calls out the nonsense, doesn't call out the people?
Let's be real. You couldn't identify them in a police lineup, Carl Heastie and Stewart Cousins. Nobody knows them. Everybody knows Cuomo. Everybody knows the power he has.
But he's not making any decisions right now.
Why doesn't he apologize now? Why doesn't he say that was a failure?
Let's say Andrew Cuomo comes out and apologizes. That doesn't change a legislature.
No, but it also signals to everybody that joined him. Remember, he signed. The crowd applauded Sid. What is wrong with you? They were applauding the death of cops. Because that's what it's led to.
I got it, but he's not in any position of
authority anymore. Oh, he's not, really?
No. Wait, you're telling me that Andrew Cuomo right now can change the laws?
Oh, my God, isn't he ahead in the polls against Eric Adams? You're the one touting him as possibly being the next mayor.
You're the one who told me he was ahead in the polls. I didn't know that.
I understand that. Yes. I did the poll. I'm the one who has created this. But I'm telling you this, if he comes on with you, that better be the first question out of your box, or I will not come on anymore in the morning. I'm telling you all here at WABC, I am so pissed after what I went through last night at the commemoration, the candlelight ceremony. We have to track where this happened. And I beat up Eric Adams every night, every day. As I stood at 59th Street, Columbus Circle, the cops had to look in their faces, these brave men and women, that they've lost the war. Because where was Eric Adams on the night of my birthday, March 26th, while I was at 125th and Lex? He was with Shakira. Shakira in Times Square. What the hell are you doing, Nightlife Mayor? Thank God Eddie Caban was there last night to represent the NYPD. He was solemn. I could see the tears welling up in his eyes as he stood on the stage. But Bruce Blakeman was magnificent. You know I've had my ups and downs with Bruce. He was so strong, so understanding. I love Massapequa Park, Nassau County. They came out in force. These WABC listeners, pro-America, pro-cop, patriotic. And then we have Joe Biden coming in today, tying up traffic. He doesn't have a moment to go out there and meet with the family. He doesn't have to go to the wake. He couldn't meet with the family. And yet he's getting wine-dined and pocket-lined and like jackals. And hyenas, they're going to be laughing tonight, partying, drinking champagne, while the Hamas crazies are outside. Think of it. Thank God for Nassau County. Thank God for Massapequa Park. They are our brothers and sisters in solidarity. I am so happy I went on the Long Island Railroad last night. I only wish all of our listeners could have been there. That's what our country is all about. Love of country. Love of family, love of police, and love of the American flag. Oh, what a great night for a great man, while our other politicians have forsaken all the police and our NYPD. Look in their eyes. I can look at, they know they've lost because our politicians say, you got to live in the city to be effective. Yeah, well, what about Jonathan Diller and all the other cops who've died in the line of duty? And they're all protected by cops, always protected by armed police officers who protect them. And they're not allowed to protect us. You know, they're all a bunch of disgraziados. It's a shanda. And if they go to that wake or they go to that funeral, I hope people give them the Malukia, the evil eye, because they all deserve it.
Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
I know when to go out. I know when to stay in. Get things done.
Hey, great David Bowie here, Modern Love. You know, CNN, they're still going on and on as if this is some courageous, great thing Joe Biden is doing tonight. I mean, I've been in these studios now for 98 minutes. 98 minutes. And out of the left corner of my eye, I can see CNN. I shut off the middle TV because that's MSNBC, and those people, to me, are domestic terrorists. So are these people. But for 98 minutes, for the most part, all they've talked about is this Joe Biden fundraiser tonight and how Joe Biden has already raised $25 million. Well, congrats, Joe. $25 million. That's great. You know, Trump's social media company made $5 billion in one day, 2 days ago. But, hey, good for you, Big Joe. He's got a star-studded cast showing up tonight. Barack Obama, yuck. Bill Clinton, kind of like Bill, but let's be honest, yuck. Fat Lizzo, yuck. Stephen Colbert, yuck. Queen Laquifa, yuck. That's who Joe Biden's going to be with today. Now, the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, he's also coming to New York. And he's going to be with Jonathan Diller's wife because he's going to the wake. I mean, I can't say it enough. It's a small piece of the story. It's just today, but it tells you everything. Their priorities, who they are, who puts America first. And I got to tell you, Donald Trump is going to be here an awful lot starting April 15th. He's got that ridiculous trial. Ridiculous. But he's got to go. And he's got to be in court every day. And it may last up to 8 weeks. And I've been in contact with Trump's people, with young Republicans around town, because I got juice. And I'm hoping to be a part of a bunch of rallies here in New York, because I really believe it's unheard of, I know. How could a Republican presidential candidate win New York? With all these low-life Democrats in this city, in this state. He can do it. He can do it. The latest poll numbers have Donald Trump right there. Right there. And you know what? On a day like today, when he's at a wake for a slain police officer, and the other guy is taking checks at Radio City, that's a big deal for Trump. Now, look, it's not about Trump today. It's about Jonathan Diller. I get it. And I'm not going to be disrespectful. I've got two guests coming up in a row, Bruce Blakeman and Vincent Vallelong, as well as Bill O'Reilly, that I'm sure will pay the ultimate homage to Jonathan Diller, who deserves it, every second of it. But this is still a political show, and when, in fact, politics collide, there's my obligation to tell you that. One guy at a fundraiser, the other guy at a wake. I feel very comfortable in calling President Trump a friend and very comfortable in voting for President Trump come November. All right, we got Bruce Blakeman, the tremendous, not good, Nassau County executive. He was there last night with thousands of others. Brady Park, Massapequa Park. We'll talk to Bruce Blakeman, but first, at 7:41 on your rainy opening day Thursday in New York.
If you had an accident, trust Gabo Law, personal injury and medical malpractice attorneys with decades of experience who will provide the attention you deserve and deliver the best possible results in the shortest amount of time. Gabo Law has recovered millions for their clients, and they will be able to help you. But don't take our word for it. Read their five-star reviews from former clients on Google, Avvo, and Facebook. Call Gabo Law today, 800-560-0214 for a free consultation. Or email them at info@gabolaw.com. That's GABOlaw.com. Gabo Law, where winning is no accident.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Boy, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Should have stayed, were the signs I ignored. Can I help you not to hurt anymore? We saw brilliance when the world was asleep. There are things that we can have but can't keep. If they say, who cares if one more light goes out in the sky of a million stars? It flickers, flickers. Who cares when someone's time runs out? If a moment is all we are, quicker, quicker. Who cares if one more light goes out? Well, I do. The reminders pull the floor from your feet. In the kitchen, one more chair than you need. Oh, and you're angry, and you should be. It's not fair. Just 'cause you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. Light goes out in the sky of a million stars. It flickers, flickers. Who cares when someone's time runs out? If a moment is all we are, or quicker, quicker. Who cares if one more light goes out? Well, I do. Thank you.
once time runs out, if the moment is all we are, or quicker, quicker, who cares if one more light goes out? I do.
Linkin Park, who cares if one more light goes out? Well, I do. Lots of lights last night in Massapequa Park in Brady Park. The Nassau County executive is not just a great politician, but I know this man very, very well. He's got a huge heart. And of course, he's pro-police. That goes without saying. But I'm sure that he's torn up. And what he's got to go through the next couple of days with the Diller family can't be easy. It's my friend Bruce Blakeman. Bruce, good morning, pal. Silly question, but how are you?
Well, it's a tough time, Sid. And by the way, you're like a brother to me. I thank you for everything you do.
Thank you.
How you support our cops, not just here in Nassau County, but throughout the country. Bless you for that.
Thank you.
It's a very tough day. Today, we're going to start the wake process, 2 days of a wake in Massapequa, and then the funeral on Saturday at St. Rose of Lima Church in Massapequa. And it's a terrible grieving process because, again, one of our finest was killed in the line of duty, and it was senseless by a career criminal that should have been in jail, two career criminals that should have been in jail, the shooter and the driver. 21 arrests, served time in jail, got out, committing more crimes. It's a revolving door of criminality that's going on in this state. And when you have Governor Hochul saying that there is no crime problem in New York, yet she puts the National Guard in the subway. When you have a district attorney in Manhattan that is convicting a Marine, Daniel Penny, who came to the aid of subway riders, they're going after this Good Samaritan and not the criminals. This is crazy. And the world is upside down, and you just wonder at what point are our elected officials in Albany and Washington going to wake up and realize that they have created chaos. They have made this whole state a more dangerous place to live. This terrible, terrible crime happened 1 mile from the Nassau County border. It could have been one of my cops. So I have to tell you, Sid, I'm grieving, I'm sad, but I'm also angry.
Yeah, I think we're all doing that. And, you know, you mentioned the governor, you're right. You mentioned the DA. You stopped short of mentioning the AG, the attorney general, in a city again where somebody was shoved in front of a moving subway 2 days ago, died. Another cop dead in the streets of Queens, and she's trying to get Trump. Now, I know Trump is coming in today. You're good friends with Trump like I am. And, you know, of course, Democrats are saying, well, this is clearly a political move. I mean, what kind of person even says something like that? Why don't you ask John Diller's wife if she feels like this is just a political move by Donald Trump? You know why? Because while Joe Biden is at a fundraiser at Radio City, lapping it up with Obama and Clinton, Trump is going to be at the wake. That says a lot about the former president. Yes.
Well, Sid, as of yesterday, the president had yet to send his condolences, President Biden. And in the opposite way, you have Donald Trump, who's a patriot, who served as president, and we had peace and prosperity under Donald Trump. Can we say we have peace and prosperity under President Biden? Of course not. And as you said, one has completely ignored this tragedy, and the other is going out of his way, changing his schedule, flying from Florida to New York just to attend the wake, just to spend a half an hour with the family, and then flying back to Florida where he has an engagement this evening. He's completely changed his schedule and put everything aside to be with the family and to be with the cops who are mourning today. And yes, it does speak volumes of the difference in leadership, the difference in caring, and the difference in values. And I am very proud that Donald Trump is coming to our county today to show his support, his love, and his sympathy for the Diller family.
Me too. I wasn't there last night in Brady Park in Massapequa Park. Curtis Sliwa was. He was on about 30 minutes ago. He described it as a beautiful event. Tragedy, obviously, but a beautiful event. Thousands of people coming together. You were there. Peter King was there. Other political leaders. So, you know, we do this in New York pretty good. Pretty good. When there's a moment of tragedy, we seem to come together, especially your neighborhood, Nassau County, Suffolk County, Long Island. If you can, give the listeners a little feel of what it was like in Brady Park last night.
Well, we have two wonderful public officials who put this together, Oyster Bay Supervisor Joe Saladino and Massapequa Park Mayor Danny Pearl. And they called me and they said, listen, we want to do a vigil. Our people are hurting here, and we want to have a vigil so that we can honor the memory of Jonathan Diller and also provide some comfort to the family. So thousands of people came out from all of Nassau County, and they were there for a musical presentation. We had a priest and a rabbi offer spiritual prayers for the family. And we had a candle lighting ceremony. As you said, Pete King was there, Commissioner Pat Ryder. Almost every elected official in Nassau County was there. And it was a beautiful event. And I think the family was touched. I think in these times of terrible, terrible tragedy, the families are looking for anything to hold on to. And I think that it was a source of comfort for the family. So congratulations to Joe and to Danny for putting that together within 24 hours. And again, it was a very beautiful and solemn event. And it's too bad we had to have it, but it was a real show of love for Jonathan Diller, for our cops, and for America.
You know, in the final 60 seconds, when politicians do that, it's great. It's always great, right? But when the people that voted for you, Bruce Blakeman, when they do it, it feels extra special. So, for example, I'm aware of some lady who owns Tim's Florist in Massapequa. She's giving out flowers. I'm aware of Umberto's Restaurant serving cops free meals. It seems like your constituents, your voters, your people in Massapequa Park have really stepped up in this time of need.
We have beautiful people here in Nassau County, but there's an outpouring of love from around the country. We'll have 50,000 cops from all over America who will come to the wake and the funeral. And Frank Siller from Tunnels to Towers and David Portnoy from Barstool Sports, those guys are paying off Jonathan Diller's mortgage. So we have beautiful people here, but I also want to thank people from all around the country who are showing their love for our Massapequa Park resident and NYPD's finest, Jonathan Diller.
I know you have a busy day, and I'll say it again. Not only are you a tremendous executive, but you're really one of the best people I know. I mean that. You're just a great, great person. So good luck over the next couple of days. I'll see you at some point. And thank you for all you do, Bruce Blakeman. God bless you.
God bless you, Sid. Thank you. Keep up the great work.
You got it, pal. There he is, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman. And man, is Long Island lucky to have him. He really is. He's a treasure. We'll take a short break. Big 8 o'clock hour about to come your way. Bill O'Reilly and also SBA President Vincent Vallelong. Hey, Adrian Adams, stay home. Hey, Jamani Williams, stay home. Hey, Justin Brannan, stay home. Vinny and Bill, next hour.
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Harry got up
all in black. Went down to the station and he never came back. They found his clothing scattered somewhere down the track.
Boy, it's Don Henley, right? Things can change in a New York minute. And things have certainly changed for the Diller family. You know, Bruce Blakeman was on the Nassau County Executive, dear friend of mine, about 20 minutes ago. And he said something that is exactly right. I think usually after something like this happens, most of us are just sad. We're sad, obviously. Young man, 1-year-old child, everybody loved John Diller, you're sad. But you realize that lately, the last couple of years, now we're pissed. I sat there next to the late, great Joe Esposito, God rest his soul, when that animal in Harlem shot down and murdered Moya and Rivera. I didn't know them. I didn't know them when I went to the funeral. I don't know John Diller, but he's a cop. And everybody in this town knows, everybody, there's not a bigger pro-police media personality in the world than me. Nobody. Every cop in this city who's driving around right now is listening to me. Not Boomer, not Elvis Duran, not even Jim Kerr, me. I've earned that because I love and respect these guys. And like Bruce Blakeman, I'm pissed today. I'm sad. I'm heartbroken. Specifically for Diller's wife, but I'm pissed, sick and tired of the excuses. Even the mayor, he cares. I get it. He's not a legislator. I get it. But I don't think he does enough. I don't. I want to hear him curse the crap out of Stuart Cousins, out of Heasty. I want to see the mayor literally and figuratively punch somebody across the face. But he's not even high on my totem pole of people I'm pissed at. This city council, these are the dregs of humanity. And then as I mentioned, those lowlives, Heasty, Stuart Cousins up in Albany, and the governor, she sucks too. She sucks. It's very nice that thousands of people showed up in Massapequa Park last night. It's very nice that my friend President Trump is going to come here today, while Joe Biden, that asshole, will be at a fundraiser at Radio City Music Hall. There's a difference there, folks. It's very nice. 50,000 cops from around the country. That's all very nice. But you know what? It's unnecessary. It didn't have to happen. If this lowlife Guy Rivera and Lindy Jones, if those guys were in jail where they deserve to be, 35 prior arrests combined, this kid would still be alive today. So when I read in the New York Post today that the SBA president, Vincent Vallelong, comes out and says, you know what? That repulsive speaker of the city council, Adrian Adams, don't come. That public advocate who wants to defund the police at every turn, putting nonsense up on social media, double-talking, literally, Jumaane Williams, don't come. There's more names. I'm sure Vinny can give me 10 of them right now. But Vince Vallelong
He's 1,000% right. And that's why he's on this show right now. Vincent, how are you, buddy? Good morning.
Good. How are you this morning?
Well, you can hear. I mean, I'm upset and I'm pissed like you are. And I thought you did a great job calling out these quote-unquote New Yorkers who crap on cops every step of the way and then, on a day like today, act as if they care.
That my letter, I just want to let you know, was done out of sheer anger. You know, I've been in this job for a very long period of time and seen a lot of fallen officers. The Diller family, you know, they will always be held in high regard in what we do day in and day out. Unlike they will be in the politicians. The politicians will only be there for a few minutes just to get that photo op and then walk away afterwards and leave us to pick up the pieces. And that is what we do best because they are our own. And the families themselves, nobody ever wants to lose a child. And that's why we put this uniform on every single day, you know, to go out and make sure your kids are safe and your family's safe. And what's being done right now with this city council, you know, you can say people have blood on their hands, but everything they've done has not been to correct what's going on in the city. There is no light at the end of the tunnel with what it is that they do and the way that they present their beliefs, because it's nobody else's belief. It's just disgusting to sit there and have them talk out of both sides of their mouth when we all know they can't stand the police department. They can't stand what is right. And really, they're just shoving their own ideology down our throats.
No, there's no question. And you called out Adrian Adams. You called out Jumaane Williams. You could add Justin Brannan to that list. He's also no good. But I added today, Heastie and Stuart Cousins.
Way, just so you know.
Who?
He was on my list, Brannan.
Oh, he was. Well, how many people were on the list?
There's a lot, but I'm not going to go through it. It doesn't make any sense because everybody knows who they are. I mean, especially, listen, these people, they vilify the police department and seem to make these, you know, the criminals, the victims in society. I mean, when we put our kids to bed at night, you tell them stories and there's a hero at the end of the story. What books did these people read to their kids? You know, what criminal element do they say is just in society and this is who you should look up to? It's just disgusting. It really is. You know, and I got to tell you, you know, losing another police officer, this didn't have to happen. This is they emboldened the criminal element in this city. And this isn't to take away from the PBA. You know, they're doing their own thing right now. I this letter was not written to get this much press. This letter was written to send out to my members and let them know that we have their back and we don't believe that any of these people should ever be on the same podium with us, whether it be promotions, whether it be funerals. You know, they don't have our back.
Yeah, but you know what? Your intent may not have been to have this public as it is, but you have to understand it's important, Vin. I mean, you know, us walking the streets. My daughter is here from England. She's back from college. She's going to be 20 next week. A beautiful girl. She can walk around the corner today and have some psycho punch her across the face. She needs to know the people in this city that are making that happen. So you may not have been looking for this type of publicity, but what you wrote was important, and people need to know about Adrian Adams and Justin Brannan and Jumaane Williams, and again, up in Albany, people like Heastie and Stuart Cousins. So I commend you.
All of which who will never sit down and talk to us, even just to do a face-to-face and see what the other side thinks. There is no middle ground with them, and that's the sad part, and that's another reason why I wrote this. Now, these people are just about themselves. It's called failed leadership. When you become a leader, you have an obligation to the members that you represent. And some people don't like the way you go sometimes, but you can't, if you don't do what's right and what the people want you to do, You're going to fail, and they are. If you open up a dictionary right now, and you look up failed leadership, it has all their pictures in it.
All of them. Yeah, this is SBA President Vincent Vallelong. So I keep, you know, I have a lot of friends who are cops. You know that, Vince, and former cops too. And they're very quick to say, all of them, that morale is down. When I have dinner with Michael Kemper just about every other week, he doesn't say that necessarily, but the formers do. Morale is down. Can you tell me the truth? What is the morale right now in the NYPD?
listen, we're never going to stop doing what we do. You know, it's just in our nature. You're never going to have a police officer that's going to say, no, nope, I'm not doing it. We will gripe and complain about a lot of different things, and we're going to go out and do our job. But the problem is, at the end of the day, you're fighting a battle, an uphill battle, where you lock people up, you put them in jail, and they're out before you're done with the paperwork. And that's where your morale is down. Because, you know, it's the same recidivists over and over again that you're locking up. You know, listen, this I get what people are saying with regards to our morale. And I can tell you that morale is not tip-top, but we will always be out there and we will always do our job. All you have to do is just look at Diller.
I mean, he
never stopped doing his job. The guys in that unit are out there every single day breaking their behinds, doing the job.
I almost wish you wouldn't. In fact, if you show me a name on a list that wants to defund the police, I know you would never do this. I understand that. But you know how good I would feel to find out that if you want to defund the police, you no longer get police service? Because that's what they deserve. You know, if Agent Adams has a broken window at 3 o'clock in the morning, she's calling you, not Justin Brandon. Imagine if you can say, hey, Adrian, good luck. You don't want us, we don't want you. That would be great. It'll never happen, but it'd be great.
And if they get pulled over in a car stop for having tinted windows, what's the first thing they tell you? I'm a city councilman.
Is that right? They do that?
Well, that's happened in the past.
Oh, my God. Ay. What do you think about above and beyond the city council? Governor, mayor, how do you think they're handling all this?
I'm gonna tell you right now. You know, if anybody thinks that Mayor Adams took this job to fail, they're wrong. All right, his hands are tied, and I was the first one to say that if he gives us a reason to go against him, I would be the first one jumping up and screaming and yelling. And he has not done that. He is trying to make things right with the city. And he doesn't have the resources to do it because the city council is, at every turn, is putting a block up with him. As for the governor, listen, those are positions in governance that I will always respect the office itself, and I'll leave it at that.
That says a lot, Vin. So on the way out, and again, Vincent Vallelong, there's a story in today's New York Post. He wrote a memo. He's not looking for this type of publicity, but hey, he wants the Rosenberg Show. Could be worse, Vince. Today, of course, is the wake. Tomorrow's the wake. Saturday is the funeral. I just had Bruce Blakeman on. Says he expects almost 50,000 cops from outside the state. So it looks like, at the very least, Mrs. Diller and that whole beautiful Diller family, it looks like the country will represent this family the way they should, despite the city council.
A true hero.
That's all you have to say. A true hero. So are you, Vin. Thank you very much for hopping on today, and God bless, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. That's Vincent Vallelong, the SBA president. And that's all you needed to hear. Three words. A true hero. All right. Lots more to do. Bill O'Reilly, the Schubert brothers, you talk about heroes. These guys, they actually started a camp just outside of Gaza where they feed, clothe, medicate all the Israeli IDF soldiers for free. You talk about heroes. Bill O'Reilly, the Shuva Brothers, more. This show today for you, John Diller. Rest in peace.
Darkness falls early, deep fresh hope to the ones they love. You better take a fool's advice. Take care of your own. One day they're here, next day they're gone.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
They look at life.
Can never get enough Jackson Brown. I mean, I guess if you're Daryl Hannah, maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, I got it. Funny one.
You didn't get it. So we've had a great show today. Curtis Sliwa, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman, and moments ago, SBA President Vincent Vallelong. The best of all, Bill O'Reilly, he coming up in about 15 minutes. And then the Shuver Brothers. You're going to love those guys coming up at 9:15. Noam, give me the latest. Last night was the Candlelight Vigil. We've talked about it all morning long. In Brady Park, in Massapequa Park, thousands showed up. Above and beyond Peter King, Bruce Blakeman, Joe Cairo, Saladino, those guys. Everyday folks showed up in big numbers. And we've got, what, 2 days of wake and then the funeral? What's coming up next?
Yeah, so it's going to be huge. They expect tens of thousands of people to show up at the wake in Massapequa Park. Begins today, 2 o'clock this afternoon. Two visitations, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. Same goes for Friday. And then the funeral will take place 10:30 on Saturday morning at St. Lima Church. And they expect some 50,000 officers from around the nation to attend that.
And again, if you haven't heard yet, President Trump is making a special trip. You know, he's got a big event in Florida tonight. So as Bruce Blakeman told you, and he's right, the President Trump is flying in to be at that 2 p.m. wake. He's going to spend about 30 to 45 minutes with the Diller family, hop right back on his jet, and go back to Florida. Now, the current president, this lowlife Joe Biden, he's also in New York. He ain't going to the wake. He's got a glitzy fundraiser with all these lowlives, Obama, Clinton, Lizzo, Stephen Colbert. I'm missing some other folks. Queen Latifah.
That was one, yep.
Yeah. He raised about $25 million. Not only is Biden not going where Trump is going, but Biden hasn't even called. Now, you know how bad these Democrats are, both media people and politicians, and even everyday folks. You know what they're saying today? Oh, please, Trump's only coming because he wants votes. Really? I'll say this. First of all, you have no idea why Trump is coming. You're not in his head. I know Trump. You're wrong. But secondly, why don't you ask John Diller's wife if she's appreciative that Trump is coming? Because it'll take less than a millisecond for her to say yes. And ask her how she feels that the current president hadn't even called. So don't worry about Trump's motives. One president is here for that. The other is hanging out with a bunch of rich people who couldn't give a rat's ass who's murdered in the streets of New York, especially a cop. What's on the latest in Baltimore?
Baltimore, yesterday, they found two more bodies. Six construction workers were missing. So two found. The difficulty today is just the currents and the way the bridge fell onto that tanker. So they're not sure if they'll be able to get in there to get the other four. Obviously, they don't want to risk the lives of people on shore to get to them. So it's not clear how long it'll take to find the other four missing workers.
Opening day, Major League Baseball. Yankees will play today. Some say it could be a preview of the ALCS. Yankees and Astros. Gerrit Cole is on the injured list. So Nestor Cortes will start for the Yanks. Four game set. Yankees will pitch Cortes, Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, and Clark Schmidt. But my Mets, they're one of, I guess, two games not playing today.
Yeah, the Brewers game out at Citi Field, that's already been called off, even though it's not really doing a whole lot right now. But I guess this afternoon they expect it'll be a downpour. And same with the Phillies. They have a game in Philadelphia that's been rained out as well.
And Ohtani, that thing is coming to a head. In fact, you're going to play this, Lou. Yesterday, all these sports announcers and sports talk show hosts were talking about Ohtani because the Dodgers, they've already played this year. Folks who don't follow baseball closely don't realize there's been two games. Last week in Seoul, Korea, the Dodgers played the Padres twice. They split the two-game set. Those games counted. So the Dodgers are actually 1-1 going into today's action where they're going to host the St. Louis Cardinals. But a whole bunch of folks, Rich Eisen, big football guy, NFL Network, Mike Greenberg, morning show TV host, ESPN, Clay Travis, all over Fox News almost every day, Outkick.com, and Sid Rosenberg, me, all talking about Ohtani over the last day. We've got a montage, Lewis. Play all four of us. Here it is. All in agreement about Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani is saying, and everything that his team put out there after the initial response to ESPN's story, that multiple millions of Shohei's dollars were wired in, apparently, from Shohei Ohtani to a Southern California illegal bookmaker, that I want to believe everything about that the first story that came out was all because of the interpreter lying from the beginning, and then Shohei just learned out of the blue that he had lost millions of dollars because his interpreter friend had ripped him off. I want to believe all this.
I am not in a position to accuse anyone of anything, and I'm not accusing anyone of anything. I'm merely saying, in the last year of Mike and Mike, I remember we learned about something called Occam's Razor. And what Occam's Razor is the concept that when you need to offer an explanation for something, any phenomenon that takes place, the likeliest explanation for it is usually the explanation for it. Not always. So are there circumstances in which someone, look, have people had $4.5 million embezzled from them, stolen from them in the history of mankind? Absolutely. Have they had it wire transferred, which so many people have to be aware of? I mean, I'm just telling you, for me to transfer $5,000 to you requires like six people signing off on it. I have to have like two things on my phone that I approve and all that kind of stuff. So how in the world does someone just transfer $4.5 million of his money and he has no idea of it? I'm sorry, I don't believe it.
Shohei Ohtani. Story to me is a big one. I'm pro sports gambling. I think it should be legal everywhere. The story that Shohei Ohtani is putting out there does not make sense. Reports are that he has not reported a theft to any authorities yet. If it were true that Shohei Ohtani's translator stole $4.5 million from him, why hasn't he reported that as a theft?
Look, I don't know for a fact either way. Neither do you. Neither does anybody except for Ohtani and the interpreter. I understand that. But I find it very hard to believe that the interpreter, $5 million, and eventually he knew how to come from Ohtani. So the more I hear about this story, the more I'm starting to believe it is Ohtani. I know Ohtani spoke. They've ostracized this guy. The Dodgers fired him. His parents aren't talking to him. He's taking the fall. And so would I. If Ohtani says to me, shut up, don't say a word, and in 5 years, when this thing goes away, I'll give you $20 million. But it makes no sense to me that the interpreter is gambling upwards of $5 million. So I'm saying I don't necessarily believe Ohtani.
All right, so there you have it. Four guys, pretty good reputations in sports. Again, Rich Eisen, NFL Network, Mike Greenberg, ESPN, Clay Travis, Outkick.com, Sid Rosenberg, WABC, all agree that Ohtani is not telling the truth. Bottom line. All right, I want to thank, talking about sports, Sweet 16 action starts today. We're down to 16. The NCAA basketball tournament, including the number one overall seed, Danny Hurley and Connecticut. We do want to thank our dear friend Pete Morgan and the folks at Peerless Boilers for sponsoring the March brackets. Pete is always a great partner. He's a great friend, has been dating back to IMIS for 25 years. So replace your old beast of a boiler and water heater with a new high-efficiency Peerless Boiler or Pavilion Tankless Water Heater. PeerlessBoilers.com. Remember, Peerless Boilers and Pete Morgan, the world's best built boilers. Thank you, Pete.
Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Slow down, you crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile. But then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it out. You got so much to do and only so many hours in a day. Hey, you know. that you can get what you want, or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you?
I like it. Billy Joel for Bill O'Reilly. Both Long Island guys are good friends. Vienna off of the Great Stranger album. Before I get to Bill, though, got a bunch of people texting me yesterday. You know I love Marianne from Brooklyn. She splits the week. Monday through Wednesday, she listens to Stern. Thursday and Friday, she listens to me. She's a dear friend. But people were complaining yesterday because Marianne called into Howard, and she was complaining, hey, where's the outrage over the cop? Well, that's why you don't listen to Howard and you listen to me, because I've been screaming for 2 days. Anyway, so Howard, and this is why I can't stand him anymore. Sorry, Marianne. Hope you don't get angry. Howard goes, well, what about the cop that they killed on January 6th? No one talks about him. You know why, stupid? He doesn't exist. That's why. I've heard Stern, Stephen A. Smith, all these jackoffs talk about five cops getting killed January 6th. Not one got killed. Not one. One guy died of a heart attack the day later. One person was killed that day, Ashley Babbitt, a white woman, Trump supporter, murdered by a black cop. That was it. That's why, Howard, no one's talking about that cop. He doesn't exist. But Howard is too busy talking to, you know, Bradley Cooper, what's his name, that Hamas-loving jerk-off.
That's it, you got it.
Yeah, that's him, yeah.
That's the second, the last part of his name is usually left off.
Yeah. Anyway, he was the best, he still is the best, he'll always be the best. Days like this, we are so fortunate to have Bill O'Reilly on. His site, BillO'Reilly.com, doesn't get better. Great interviews, great news stories, great TV, all of it. His Killing series, now 13 deep, and I can't wait for his new book coming out September the 10th, a look at the presidency from Washington through this louse, Joe Biden. Here he is, the great Bill O'Reilly. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Sid. Nice show today.
Thank you. Appreciate
the outrage, and all New Yorkers should. It's very difficult emotionally to deal with the story because you have to blend anger, righteous anger, with incredible sympathy.
And you feel guilty sometimes, Bill, because, like I said earlier to Vincent Vallelong and Bruce Blakeman, a county executive not far from where you live, you really should only feel sad today, but we are angry, too. We're angry.
No, you have to be. And that's the story that will be ongoing. So I'm going to be at the funeral on Saturday morning at St. Rose.
Good.
And I just want to keep a low profile. I don't want to be intrusive in any way at all. But I want to go. The family, the Diller family, and John, who was murdered, they are part of my parish, St. Mary's. And John went to St. Mary's High, played lacrosse just like my son did. So there's a tremendous connection. It's just going to be tens of thousands of people. I don't even know how they're going to handle it out there in Massapequa. But this shows the bad guys that the tide is turning. And I do believe it is. I believe the tide is turning against the Albany people who, that's where this started, the no bail thing. It started there. And then the city council of New York City. These are bad people. And I'm not, you know, the union guy cut them some slack. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. I'm smart enough and experienced enough to understand if you are a good person or a bad person. I know. And the reason I say they're bad people is they know that the system they have imposed on the citizens of New York, the city, and every other county is getting people killed and hurt. It's undeniable. They know that. Yet they will not admit the mistake. They would rather see people die and get hurt than say, you know what, we made a mistake, and we're going to rectify the mistake.
Not only not admit the mistake, but not the city council, but Carl Heastie, the speaker up in Albany, doubled down yesterday and said, hey, I'm sorry about this cop, but the statistics still show me we're doing the right thing.
Sure, because he will never look at the world the way it is. He's created his own world. I know this guy. He lives in a world where he believes that white people are bad.
Correct.
And that the criminal justice system, including all police officers, even if you're a black police officer, is racist. That's the world he lives in. He gets up every morning believing that. He goes to sleep every night believing that. So he justifies murder and mayhem by that belief system. He says, hey, I'm doing the right thing. I'm keeping people out of jail that shouldn't be in jail.
Black people, for the most part.
Yes, but other people. And whites benefit from no bail, too.
Not the same. I really believe in my heart of hearts that this is black people trying to keep black people out of prison, and then white people pander. You get your Dustin Brown.
That is the primary motivator.
Yeah.
So when you have, and I'm a simple man, as you know, Sid, that's why you like me, because you're a simple man, too. There are two simple men here.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
When you have a automobile idling in Queens, double parked, with two individuals inside who have 35 arrests between them, and they're sitting in the automobile, both of them are armed, you have an out-of-control situation. They shouldn't be out of prison anyway. I mean, three strikes and you're out is a good law. And I'm sorry, I don't care what color you are, if you commit three felonies, you should spend the rest of your life in jail. Does that make sense to everybody listening to WABC right now?
To WABC, yes, but to a lot of New Yorkers, millions, nope.
Okay, so I will debate you on television if you disagree with me. So you let Sid know who you are, and you will get a phone call.
Well, you may as well start on the Upper West Side. There's a lot of folks right there.
Well, they'll run.
Alvin Bragg, they love him.
They'll run because they can't defend their position. You can't defend it. So to allow someone with three and then off that, how many times have you heard, we got to get all the guns, the guns, the guns, the guns?
Please, enough of that.
Okay. These guys had prior gun convictions. Were they punished for those? No bail on guns. You walk around New York City with a gun illegally, and they get you, they don't hold you on bail. Don't tell me about banning guns or this gun or that gun. You don't want to solve the problem because you believe that society is racist and you would rather have the collateral damage of John Diller losing his life. You would rather have that than admit that your policies are dangerous and destructive. I mean, you know, once you're in that position, you're a bad person, Sid.
Good. I'm a bad person. I'm going to make a new T-shirt, and I'm going to wear it proudly that says, I'm a bad person. I'm good with that.
No, you're not a bad person. The person who holds that belief system.
No. They can even call me a bad person. I'm fine with that.
Oh, no. Who doesn't really matter.
Of course.
So then you look at, here's another very interesting thing. Can Mayor Adams show up at that funeral tomorrow?
Oh, he's going to be there. And again, I thought the union guy, well, if you think he wants to fail, I don't care what's in his heart. I don't care what he wanted to do. I'm sorry. I understand Adams doesn't legislate. I get that. At the end of the day, that goes back to Heastie and Stuart Cousins. But if you're going to tell me with all honesty that you believe that Eric Adams has shown enough outrage and done enough yelling and screaming and banging and crying to get something done, you're either agenda-driven or a moron. That's my opinion.
Well, I think Adams might have some problems at that funeral.
Why is that?
Because I think the cops may turn their back on him.
I don't know. You think so? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, he's not as loathed as de Blasio
right,
was.
Right, right, right.
And remember, they turned their backs on de Blasio. And he never got over that, by the way.
Yeah.
That pretty much put him out. There's anger about Mayor Adams. It's not intent, all right? So Adams is intentionally supporting policies that are getting people hurt and killed. He's not.
No, he's actually against it.
Right. But he's not leading.
Correct.
So when you give people power, governor, mayor, whatever, you expect them to lead in the right direction. Now, there's a lot of things the mayor can do without the cooperation of the city council. That's always the failed presidents, and you will see them in my book coming out, and thanks for mentioning and confirming the presidents, always blamed Congress, always, for their failure. Oh, no, I couldn't do anything. Buchanan was, it was Congress's fault. They wouldn't help me. It's all a bunch of bull. So what you need in this city is basically a mayor who is very visible and verbal, calling out the people in Albany.
So when I'm on last Friday, okay, and I said just that. I said, Mayor Adams, you know, the biggest criticism I hear all the time is while you seem to be on the right side of the issues, you don't call them out. And he said to me, he said, Sid, because I'm with you, Bill. I yell about that every day. He should be doing that. He goes, Sid, if I do that, you understand, I will not get money for the other issues in the city. And I thought to myself, well, wait a second. If you're getting money for education, our schools are the worst in the world. If you're getting money for infrastructure, the Brooklyn Bridge is about to go down like that bridge in Baltimore. What exactly are you getting all this money for that makes it worthwhile to be somewhat nice to these animals getting cops killed in the street? I couldn't think of one thing, not one.
It doesn't matter. You don't govern out of fear. You don't govern because, if I say this, I might not get that. That's not leadership. You go out and you tell the people of New York what is right and what is wrong, who the problem is, what you want to do, and who's stopping you from doing it.
Correct.
Not, well, if I do it, I might get in trouble. That's not leadership.
Totally agree. Yep.
And how many decades have we had now? Well, Bloomberg, you know, he was okay. At the end, he waffled because he was thinking about, well, I want to be president. That's what the last couple of years of Bloomberg were not as good as the first when he took over from Giuliani.
No, that's saying it mildly. He became
right,
a monster.
Because Bloomberg was saying, I want to run for president. I need the Democrats. I need the liberals. And again, that's not leadership. Leadership is you do the right thing.
Well, let me talk about that. I'm going to go to break because, again, I take advantage of O'Reilly every week. He gets me ratings in 2 hours. Leadership is doing the right thing. And I know you know this, Bill, but maybe the audience just tuned in. There are two presidents, the current one and the prior one, both in New York today. Both. But only one is doing the right thing. More with Bill O'Reilly right after this.
When will you realize Vienna waits for you?
All right, the great Bill O'Reilly, 9 p.m. weeknights here on WABC, BillO'Reilly.com. So I said before the break, two presidents are here today. That's true. One is the current louse, Joe Biden. He's here. He's got a fundraiser. He's going to be yucking it up with Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and Lizzo and Queen Latifah and Stephen Colbert at Radio City. He's already made $25 million. He's going to have a whole bunch of fun. The other, my friend, your friend, Donald Trump, he's coming in for just 30 minutes and flying right back to Florida to sit next to Dilla's wife today. Now, listen, the Democrats, they're such scumbags. I'll say it. You don't have to, Bill. They're killing Trump today saying, oh, clearly a political ploy. Clearly. I don't care what it is. I can tell you Dilla's wife, and I know this for a fact, is appreciative that Donald Trump is going to be there. The other louse hasn't even called the Diller family. That is the difference in leadership between Trump and Biden. Your thoughts?
The Diller family invited Trump. They invited him.
That's all you need to know.
So how can you say it was a political stunt? So whoever says that is a liar. And see, again, this is about identifying people who are doing bad things. So when the former president was invited by the family, he said, "Yes, I'm going to Massapequa. I hope it's a low-key event." But Joe Biden didn't even call Lake and Riley's family.
Still hasn't.
You know, ignored him totally. And that, by the way, puts Georgia next November in the Trump camp. Trump lost Georgia last time. He'll win it again because of Lake and Riley. So I don't begrudge Biden coming to New York and trying to scoop up the money. I don't think the money's going to do him any good. We searched to try to find any kind of cogent statement about the growing public disorder in the United States from Joe Biden, and he hasn't said a word. And remember, he was the guy in the Senate who was behind the tough on crime bill. So just like every other position he's ever held, he's gone a 180 on it because he has no beliefs. As you know, I call him the man of no seasons. Remember the man for all seasons?
Yes.
The movie?
Yes.
Well, Biden's the man of no seasons. He's got no belief system whatsoever, none. He doesn't believe anything. It's all political expediency. But again, if Biden were to say, I don't think Biden be even welcomed at that funeral.
Oh, they would let him come. He's the president. They would let him come. They wouldn't treat him as warmly as Trump.
They can't stop him.
Right.
But and they can't stop
So if Biden's smart, right? He's not. He's a moron. But if he's smart, he runs there for 30 minutes, and then he goes to a stupid fundraiser. At least he doesn't get upstaged by Trump like he did in East Palestine, Ohio, for
a
year.
They would never do that. They'd never put him in a position where he might be disparaged. And he might be. So Adam is taking a big chance, I'm telling you. He's taking a big chance going to that funeral.
You think so? See, I don't think so. I think the cops I hope you're right.
You know, I'll come on Monday with you if you want.
I want to, yes. Yes.
And I'll give you the blow-by-blow on what happened there. I'll be there, eyewitness. The reason I'm saying this is that the NYPD and a lot of cops live on Long Island. And I know, you know, that's culture because my grandfather was an NYPD. I mean, I know. So Cabin is the police commissioner, and he serves at the pleasure of Eric Adams.
No question.
And they get along, by the way.
I know Eddie Caban very well. He's a very, very nice guy. Very nice. But there's no question he would never, quote unquote, step out of line.
No, but his sympathies lie with tough enforcement on crime. He's not one of the let them all out.
Agreed.
Okay? So Caban, I'm sorry I mispronounced the name. He would like to break this down. Now, the deficit of him is that he's not visible. So he's not like Bratton. He's not a visible police chief.
Yeah.
I keep telling him, you got to get out there.
You guys got to stop with Bratton, by the way. Just go to Ray Kelly. He was better.
Okay. But who's more famous?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
You're right.
That's my point.
Yeah.
You got to get out there, and you got to let people know what your sensibilities are. And that's a tough dance.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be alienating the guy who could fire you tomorrow.
Well, you know what's funny, though? Talking about being out there and being charismatic. And I say this all the time. I wish New York would take a page out of Nassau County, right? I mean, here you got the Esposito Republican congressman. Here you got Lolito Republican congressman. Here you got Peter King, Joe Cairo, all Republicans. You've got a Nassau County executive, Bruce Blakeman, who's terrific. He was on earlier, Republican. Now you've got a Suffolk County executive, Ed Romaine, terrific Republican, and the police commissioner in Nassau County, Pat Ryder, this guy's as good as any cop in the country. Why can't New York take a page out of Nassau County?
It's a totally different mentality. So all the dope dealers in Queens know they can't cross the line into Floral Park.
Although they were right there, you realize that literally they were a couple of feet away where this poor guy Diller was murdered, a couple of feet away from Nassau County, right there.
So the criminals, they know that if they're in Nassau County, they're going to be held much more to account than if they're in New York City. And so they do their business in New York City. Not to say that Nassau is not, you know, in crime. It does. But there's a totally different mentality here in this county than in New York City. And the reason is that people who live in Nassau County are much closer. They're bound together. Whereas New York, they're not. So you live in on Park Avenue, you have nothing in common with somebody living up on the Grand Concourse in Bronx.
Stay in Manhattan. Nothing in common with somebody living in the West Village.
Right. Well, nobody does. So it's fiefdoms there in New York City. It's and that's the problem, because they, people live in these neighborhoods, and they never go out of the neighborhoods. And they, all they hear is the same people going, oh, the cops are racist. Oh, the justices are racist. That's all they hear. There's no other counterpoint of view. Whereas in Nassau, you don't have that. All right. There's basically there's liberals and conservatives here, obviously. But it's not, you don't hear the other side. In New York City, in many places, you never hear that. And so these people, they vote for, I mean, the fact that Zeldin lost, and I said this at the time, I said, do you know what you're doing here by putting Hochul back? You are guaranteeing carnage and chaos. You are voting against your own self-interest. That's exactly what's happening, 100%.
And on the way out, while the cop's death obviously is just beyond tragic, you know, we've had a lot of other stuff happen the last couple of days. We had another person pushed in front of a moving subway killed. I mean, I saw a guy yesterday. This is the God's honest truth. Taking the 4 train from 42nd Street down to Wall Street, where I get the ferry every day. The guy literally was taking a crap in the back of the train, literally. And by the way, that's not the first time I've seen that. Or a guy masturbating. I mean, the quality of life, no matter what Adams and other people say, it is absolutely tragic what's happening in this city, above and beyond the most obvious, which are cops getting killed.
There is no consequence. You can punch people in the face and get away with it.
We have that right now, young girls.
They know that, these criminals. They're 15% of the city is hardcore evil criminals, and you're letting them run wild. Again, simple man, simple analysis. And it's going to take, you know, I don't know what it's going to take. It's just, it's heartbreaking, and there are a lot of good things about New York. I'm born in Manhattan, raised on Levittown. I know the state and the city as well as anybody on earth knows it. And there are so many good things. But you are destroying, and I mean that word literally, this far-left cadre is destroying this state and this city.
And what a day for this, too. Of course, today, Holy Thursday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Good Friday. And then the funeral right before Easter Sunday. I mean, my God.
You know, I'll tell you one thing. Judas Iscariot could get elected to the legislature in certain parts of New York.
You are right. Man, are you right. That tells a lot right there, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, he'd win.
I think he would, too. I do. So I'm glad you're going on Saturday. That's very, very nice. But, of course, that's you. You got a huge heart. And you were brilliant again today. I'm getting messages. My phone is blowing up. People are really appreciative of what you had to say. So what could I say? Stay safe, and I will talk to you again very, very soon.
Yeah,
love you.
We'll talk on Monday if you want. I mean,
come back Monday.
You may have you know, some hairdresser up that you want to talk to in St. Mark's Place. I don't want to bump them, but I want everybody to have a happy Easter. You know, I mean, I hate to be the analyst of doom. I don't like that. I'd much rather come on and make fun of you.
Right.
But there comes a point where good people, again, going back to good and evil, bad and good, have to stand up.
Yeah.
You know, you got to stand up and say enough, enough. And if millions of people, of New Yorkers, would do that, things would change.
Bill O'Reilly, I love you. Happy Easter. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay, Sid. Thanks for having me.
You're the best. Bill O'Reilly, folks, 9 p.m. every weeknight, WABC. And, of course, BillO'Reilly.com and the Killing Series. He's the man. That's the highest-rated segment of the week. Any time, any day, any show. Now, I've got another special guest. These guys have put together, this is unbelievable, I've been there. Just outside of Gaza, less than a mile away, not too far from the Nova Music Festival, and of course the kibbutzim. These Shuver brothers opened a camp many, many months ago, and they cater to IDF soldiers. Free food, free clothing, free medication, free everything. These two guys, these brothers, huge hearts. I mean huge hearts. And they're in New York tonight for a very, very big event. So they're going to come in studio next. The Shuver Brothers. Pro-Israel as it gets. They're coming up. You're out of touch, my baby.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
What you say? He's just a friend.
Boy, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Oi!
You know, when I come on the air and I say something, Noam, you can jump in here. Sometimes I say stuff before everybody else knows, and I just want to make sure that I'm right. So very, very early yesterday morning, very early, I said that Frank Siller and Tunnel to Towers is paying off the mortgage of the Diller home. And I also said that I believe President Trump is going to donate and come here as well. And as it turns out, thank God, I was right on both, right?
Well, when you walked out after saying that Siller was going to pay for part of the mortgage, I said, do you know that for a fact?
And I said, I think I do.
You think you do, and thank God you were right. Of course they did.
Yeah, they did. Him and Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports, they're on Fox News together this morning. They're actually splitting it. So Siller doing the right thing. Trump coming in for just 30 minutes, folks. He has a huge event in Florida tonight. So he's flying in this afternoon. He'll be in Massapequa for Jonathan Diller's wake for 30 minutes, getting right back on his plane and flying home to Florida. This other scumbag who's president right now, he's going to be having champagne tonight with Clinton, Obama, and those other Jew haters, Stephen Colbert and Lizzo and Queen Laquifa, bunch of horrible people. These two guys sitting in front of me, not horrible people. You know, the last day that we were in Israel, my daughter Ava, my son Gabriel, and myself, we went down to the border, and we went to the Nova Music Festival. It was horrible. It's been reduced to sticks with 8x10 pictures of the beautiful people that were
raped, tortured, and murdered that day. It's a horrible sight. And that's right down the road from the kibbutzim. There's about 20 different kibbutzes which Hamas tried to attack that day. The good news is most of them they couldn't get in because it was Shabbos. They wouldn't open the gates. Some did. We know what happened. But right there, not far from all those sites, is a camp. And my tour guide that day is a guy that works with Zaka. What do they do, you ask? You don't want to know. They actually go into these horrible sites, collect body parts, and attempt to put the bodies back together so, A, the family will have a full person, and B, in certain cases, they could identify who these people are. It's a horrendous job. But he said, you know, we're going to stop at this camp over here, these two brothers. I said, okay, great. I had to pee anyway. And I want the potato chips. It was a gas station not far. So we go into this camp, and these two handsome guys walk over. And they say, eat what you want, take what you want. So I had a cup of coffee. I had some food. It was great. And then one of the IDF soldiers had a big gun. And they said, here, hold on to the gun. Take a picture, which I, of course, posted 1,000 times. But more importantly, these two guys now have dedicated their lives, the Shuva brothers, to working for the IDF soldiers, providing them with things they ordinarily would not have. So with that said, it is an honor to have you two guys in studio, the Shuva brothers. Say hello and tell everybody who you are.
Hey, thank you very much. First, Sid, it's a great honor for us to be here. Thank you for having us. Thank you for what you're doing and saying for Israel. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So we're Eliran and Dor Trabelsi. Basically, this Shuva thing, you know, on October 7th, you know what happened. You just said it. It was horrible. We can't even imagine how horrible it was. Around the morning, all this mess started. Our brother, our third brother, Kobe, lives in Shuva, this small village like 2 miles from the border. Went out to see what happened. There was some kind of field hospital. He came out and tried to help with whatever he could. And the next days, we found ourselves.
The next day, me and Eliran started buying whatever we could. Okay, we know we need to help these soldiers. Kobe is calling us. There are many soldiers in here. They need some help. They need equipment. And we started going and buying and bringing it over there.
But how'd you get that? There's a kibbutz right there. And I know you've got the keys to a couple. Sometimes you allow the soldiers to shower in there, change. How'd you get that area designated for what you're doing today? How'd you get that?
We didn't get it. God,
you
God,
just took it.
God made it. God made it. We took it. You know, the army opened a field hospital over there, and we got there to help. You know,
like a triage unit. You mean
exactly?
Because it's really a big parking lot outside the kibbutz. Exactly. They made it a triage. You were there to help them out, and then when it was no longer a triage, you made it what you have.
And we stayed. We needed more soldiers coming. We bring more food. They needed clothes. We buy more clothes. And slowly, slowly, we became the place they can come and ask for whatever they need to the field. We were inside the war zone, so people from outside couldn't give them anything, couldn't get to them, and we were there. So we got the people we bought a lot of things, and we got the people to bring the things to us, and awesome. We will bring it to the fields.
Awesome. So give me an example of some of the stuff you give to these soldiers.
It starts from socks and underwear, and it can get to unit tents. Or to items for their guns.
Oh, really? So even that type of stuff.
Whatever they're asking
beyond,
for.
You've got donuts and muffins and coffee.
Whatever they need.
Coffee was pretty good.
Whatever they need. They'll need a bulletproof vest because they have an old one that's breaking. We will buy it specially for them.
Wow. So what do you guys do then to make money? And I know right now this is more important. And what you're doing again, I will love you guys forever. And I hope all of Israel and every Jew around the world loves you forever. But what do you do for money?
You know, the idea is, I think it's much bigger than money.
Okay.
It's, you know, you work, you make money in order to have good time.
So you still have a job.
Right. Yeah. I still have my business. Dor, by the way, is now out of the, this is what he's doing. That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
And right now we only care about keeping this good. I mean, you know, we spoke before, you asked me about what we're giving. I think the biggest thing that we're giving the soldiers right now is the love, is the hug, is the humanity, right?
That.
You know, they're coming out of Gaza from hell. They're coming sometimes for 5 minutes of humanity. That's the biggest thing that we're giving them. So money is, I mean, This is nothing.
Much. Right, yeah. right. You know, I've been very critical, guys, of the American government from October 8th on. I think me and Mark Levin have been the two most critical. Everybody else in this country, even Republicans, were giving Biden the benefit of the doubt. And then he went on TV and he told some cockamamie story about Golda Meir. And oh, he loves us. Oh, please. I go back to Menachem Begin days. He didn't like you guys, okay? Obama days, when they funded Iran, when he took over the presidency, he wanted to bring back the Iran deal. He's done nothing outside of one or two TV interviews that says he's really pro-Israel. So I hate the son of a bitch. I hate him. I really do. And talking to guys like Alex Trayman, JNS in Jerusalem, and others, I'm starting to get the feeling that you guys, not you two necessarily, but Israelis are catching on. You're in New York right now. You're in the United States. Biden's going to be here today. If you saw him, would you tell him, Mr. President, I'm really disappointed?
First, we are really disappointed, but I'm not sure he's the right one to talk to. I know he has his boss, Obama. He's the right guy to speak to.
Oh, that's funny. That's a great point. You're right. And you know, Obama was no fan. How do you feel about Trump? Just curious. You don't have to like him. It's okay. He's my friend. You don't have to like him.
Someone asked me that yesterday, and I said, I think the most important thing in being a prime minister, I don't know, it's to have balls, and he's the only one who had those.
There you go. So I know in and around Israel, when I was there, a lot of protests against Bibi, and it's getting worse. Now, some of those are the hostage families. I understand that, right? You have my kid. I want my kid. But I don't understand other people. Yeah, there's no question you guys got caught flat-footed. It was a bad job by Bibi. That never should have happened October 7th. But would you agree that since it did happen, you would rather have nobody else in the world leading this effort?
Fact.
Fact, right?
Fact. No one else can even, like, is the right man for this moment right now.
He's the best one. You feel the same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
So balls. We said about balls.
So, yeah, balls. Exactly. That's what Bibi and Trump both have. So, in the beginning, it was a triage. Now you're providing other stuff. But the war is still raging. You know, the day that we saw you guys, an hour before, we were in a bomb shelter, and a bomb went off, and my daughter started to cry. I trembled. I'm a tough guy like you guys. I got nervous. I'm not going to lie to you. It was scary. So there are still people dying there. You guys still get bodies coming across? And
yes, absolutely. We just yesterday we figured that one of Dror's friends was murdered.
No.
On October 7th. Just yesterday, yeah. They figured it out.
Oh, they just figured it out.
Yesterday, I think there were two soldiers that died. I mean, it still happened. The war is still there. People are dying up north and down south. It's still crazy. I mean, you don't feel it anymore in the street, but it's still there.
Well, you guys are way down south, right by the Gaza border. But every Israeli I speak to is clearly much more afraid of Hezbollah in the north. And like you said, there are people dying every day, and they're sending over hundreds of rockets, and they haven't even started sending the real stuff yet. They're afraid to do that just now.
I don't think we're much more afraid of the north.
The wrong word.
Because right now, and the south, it's actually war. You know, people are actually fighting. In the north right now, we're just getting hits, and people are evacuated. But also in the north, when things are going to start, we're going to be much more aggressive.
Yeah.
The north is an actual army.
Yes.
Lebanon. And the South, it's not even army. It's a guerrilla thing.
Yeah, ragtag animals.
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, animals.
But are you nervous about the future of Israel if, in fact, this thing in the North becomes full-scale war?
We will never be worried about the future of Israel.
Yeah. I love Israelis, man.
You know, I'm Israel Chai. You know, I'm Israel Chai.
I wear it on my chest every day.
Israel is much more than the country. No one can beat us. I mean,
no one can beat us.
Yeah, no.
You don't care then if the United States or Canada, the rest of these cowardice countries don't even back you. You'll figure it out, right? You'll figure it out.
We tell people when we talk to people, we say, guys, stop listening to the news. It's not here. It's not real.
Right.
It doesn't really happen. They can continue talking. You know, you talked about Bibi. They all talking about Bibi doing whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Okay. They can keep talking. We're Am Yisrael. We're going to stay here. We're going to do it better. I think it's first time that we're actually fighting back right now.
Yeah.
First time we're actually doing something like old times,
of course,
the Bible times.
Of course.
And it's not the first time that we didn't have back from the
correct
rest of the world.
Right.
Exactly. We never
right,
had it.
Right. So you guys are 1,000% like I am with BB. We have to go into Rafa, yes? Have to.
Absolutely.
And you made a face like, I mean, obviously, right?
That's where
the terrorists
that's
are.
That's where our hostages.
Right. So how do you kill Sinwar? How do you get the hostages out if you don't go into Rafah? How do you win the war?
You just don't.
You don't, right. So what are these people talking about? You need to take them down to your place, all right? Give them a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Throw them one of these Israeli T-shirts, and then they'll come around.
By the way, that's the only place, that's the only shuva, like to come to our place. It's the only place when you actually feel the war. Because all over, you hear like, yeah, we're going out, we don't fight anymore, that they're stuffing. Right. And you come to Shuva and you hear a boom every few seconds.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Like I was nervous. Now I'm not. But for a while there, I'm like nervous for you guys. I'm like, you hear booms every couple. Some are really loud too. So last night you're in New York, a conversation with the Shuva brothers. Josh Petash hosted this, and tell me about this.
So the reason we came to New York, you know, the main idea behind right now, the main idea behind Shuva brothers. Is the idea of do good. Guys,
do good.
Take yourself, do something good. Don't look about bad things that happened. We have the simple story of when you walk on the street and see a piece of paper on the floor, you'll pick it up. You'll not ask who the hell put it over there. You'll not ask why did he put it there. Just pick it up, put it in the garbage.
Right.
I mean, do your own good. Things will be
like
good around
Danielle
you.
So when Danielle walks in my bedroom and I have a pair of underwear on the floor, just pick it up.
Pick it up. Don't ask me why I did it. Just
don't
pick
give
it
me
up.
A hard time.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, Frank Siller runs an organization called Tunnel to Towers. And that guy's came about after 9/11. His brother, Stephen Siller, was killed in the World Trade Center. You know what they say every day? Do good. So those are two pretty good causes, what you guys do and what Tunnel to Towers does. So this talk last night was basically telling about 100 folks, do good.
It was amazing. Telling them, guys, do good. You know, we love that, you know, Americans usually are donating money, sitting on the couch and donating money. And it's great and it helps. But right now we're saying, guys, the money is okay, but we want you to start doing.
Do more than just the money.
The money is great.
Right. But do more.
Do more. Do in your own place. You don't have to do it in our place. Do in your own place. It will get to us at the end.
Gotcha. And tonight it looks like Danielle, Ava, and Gabe are going to join you guys at what you're calling the Shawarum Challah Club, Bake with Jake. A big deal tonight in Midtown East. Tell me about that. You're going to teach my son how to make challah?
Exactly. They really? Invited us to, they're doing a challah bake with Jay Cohen. The whatever they fundraising over there going to go to Shuva Brothers, going to go for us to continue doing what we're doing. It took us a few days to understand if we can leave it over there and to come here and you know, show some respect. And we decided that we will. We saw how people here are really exciting for that. We came basically in our schedule only for this event. Wow. And right now we already have like four or five different events. Yeah. Including you right now.
Well, this is the biggest one. Nothing
it
close.
Is, it is, it is.
But on a serious note, people appreciate you guys. I mean, yes, my son, my daughter, when we left Israel, we talked more about you, quite frankly, than anybody else, because we saw what you do. You guys actually do good. So who runs the place now when you guys are in New York?
We have amazing volunteers.
Good.
That for them, the place is like their home. Okay. Some of them came from the States. Some of them came from Canada. Some of them are Israelis. They came for a day or two and ended up staying here, staying there till now. We have our brother Kobe over there. Our sister.
Oh, good.
Family.
But it's still difficult for us to be out.
It's hard.
It is.
It's not difficult.
You saw us over there. We're not playing. We're not coming to do PR or playing.
No.
We're working.
I mean, you guys, when I was there, you were like hauling in boxes. In fact, I got annoyed at one point. They're like, can you carry boxes? I'm like, no. I'm here to have a cup of coffee. I don't work for these guys.
I'm pretty sure you did. I did. I remember.
Danielle says, don't drop the underwear. That's all she took from this conversation. like I said, she'll be there tonight. Well, listen, you guys, you really are a treasure. I know they know that in Israel. Hopefully now they know it all over New York and across the United States. And for folks that do want to help you because you do God's work, you really do. How do New Yorkers and Americans help out the Shuva Brothers? What do they do?
They can search Shuva Brothers on
Shuva, right?
Yeah. Shuva Brothers.
Instagram, Facebook. We have a page through JGive. That's how we collect our money. They know how to get, they have a 501c3. If people want to donate with money or just want to share us and help us share the good and our motto, which is do good. That's what we really.
And of course, if you come to Israel, come visit us, come volunteer. I mean, I promise you that you'll thank us for us.
Oh, I agree with you. Like I said, you guys left a huge impression, not just on me, but my daughter, Ava, and my son, Gabriel, too. I love you guys. Thank you so much, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
If you see Joe Biden, give him the finger.
Thank you, Sidney.
We'll take a short break. Those were the Schubert Brothers. I'm Sid. I'll be right back.
Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC. Duran Duran, Ordinary World, if it ain't. On your rainy Thursday morning, no Met baseball today. Rained out opening day. Mets and Brewers will play a three-game set starting tomorrow. You know, it's only going to be a three-game set anyway. Because the way baseball works, lots of these series, they start Thursday. They don't play Friday. Now, the Yankees, they do play all 4 days against Houston. So the Mets will still play three. Hosting Milwaukee, the weather will be nice tomorrow, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday as well. So Mets and Brewers tomorrow, Yankees and Astros coming up today. Dodgers will host the Cardinals with all this Ohtani controversy going on. And I played a montage earlier, Sid Rosenberg, WABC, Rich Eisen, NFL Network, formerly ESPN, Mike Greenberg, current TV morning host, ESPN, Clay Travis, Outkick.com. Four real good sports guys. And we all agree. Well, come on. This is Ohtani's money.
You think there's going to be media coverage when that series starts?
Today it starts.
I know, but it's...
Yeah, I think right. There will be, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. I think the first question, Ohtani, will be, who do you got today? Well, you guys got Tyler Glass now on the mound against the Cardinals. Should be an easy win. Should I lay the 180? What do you think, Ohtani? So anyway, that's your sports. The Sweet 16 also resumes today. Got four games, including the tournament's overall number one seed, UConn. Who do they play again today? Is it San Diego State?
I think that's right.
That Final Four team a year ago. And the Knicks beat Toronto by 44 last night. Mitchell Robinson came back. That was big. Gave him 12 minutes. This kid, Deuce McBride, all of a sudden is like a great player. He had 29 points. Brunson had 26. So the Knicks move into the three seed, half game ahead of Cleveland,
behind only Boston and Milwaukee inside the East. And the Rangers are still the only team in the NHL with 100 points. One better than Boston. A lot going on good, right?
Yes.
And then here comes exciting. Real life. Real life is really bad. We talked all morning long about the difference between two presidents. One being the current president, Joe Biden, the worst ever. And one being the guy before him, President Trump, who in my lifetime is the best ever. God is good to me. I'll be 57 in 23 days. I always said Reagan. And I love Ronald Reagan, I do. But maybe because I know Trump personally, we're friendly. I didn't know Reagan. I have a greater appreciation. But they're both great. And what is the difference between these two presidents? And I'm sure that all day long you're going to hear this on this station. I'm sure Greg Kelly will do it. He loves Trump, too. Joe Biden and Donald Trump are both in New York today. Both. So you would think they're both going to see the Diller family. And you'd be wrong. President Trump is flying into New York for that sole purpose. Now, he's got a big event back in Florida tonight. He is going to fly the 2+ hours from Florida to New York, run to Massapequa, be there for about literally 30 minutes. That's it. With the Diller family, who invited Trump. So when you watch all these scumbags on TV today going, oh, Trump only came for political purposes, for votes. No, they invited him, you effing liars. And he said yes. 30 minutes, getting right back on his plane to fly 2 more hours back to Florida. Biden is coming today. In fact, they've got all the barricades up right outside my studios on 3rd Avenue. You don't care about the Dillers. You don't care about cops. He's got a fundraiser at Radio City. Clinton, Obama, Stephen Colbert, Lizzo, fat, stupid Lizzo, Queen Latifah, all these profiles of courage, all these great Americans. He raised $25 million. Like, that's going to help him. And you're going to be at Radio City Music Hall. They're going to be yucking it up, laughing, making jokes about Trump, while Trump sits next to a grieving widow. Country's a mess for the better part of 3.5 years until the Chinese unleashed that virus. Our country was never more prosperous under Trump. The world's a mess. A mess. Another war with the Ukrainians. Happened under Obama. Happened now under Biden. Didn't happen under Trump. Israel Hamas. Didn't happen under Trump. Dead bodies in Afghanistan. Didn't happen under Trump. I mean, we've done this a million times. It's becoming boring at this point. But some of you need to be reminded. Not most of this audience. They listen to me because they're on my side. But just in case my sister is tuning in for 3 seconds from Florida, she needs to hear the difference. That scumbag that you pretend is doing a good job and you're going to vote for again. And you got to tell me one thing that he's done well. One thing that's improved. One. Give me one. Gas prices? Nip. Interest rates? No. Inflation? No. Race relations are better now? No. Give me it. I'm willing to listen. Tell me. Give it to me. What's better under Biden? What? Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry. Now boys can put on wigs and compete against my daughter. Isn't that great? Congratulations. There it is, guys.
You found it.
Yes. See, now a boy can put on a wig and go compete against my daughter. That's what you guys have done well.
See, the things aren't so bad. So bad. See, things are not so bad.
I mean, I'm starting to think that Joe Lieberman died yesterday because he wanted to. Yeah.
He feels like the lucky one right now.
What is happening to me? Crazy some say. Everyone.
Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Well, we're done. Kevin Troche filled in for Justin Ellick today. Kevin is a program director. He was here like 3:30 in the morning. I arrived at 10 to 5. All the sound was done. He was great. I mean, not good, but great. So thank you, Kevin Troche. Excellent job today.
Now we just have to put his bed back up together.
I know my Kevin tells me my cousin quoted in today's Wall Street Journal Norm Coleman talking about Joe Lieberman. They were very, very close. Two Jews that worked together in government. So they were very, very close. I'm not surprised. I'll get that later. Lou Ruffino, as always, amazing job. You are the greatest in history. I mean that in the history of the position. And Noam Layden, you too. Terrific work. God willing, as my man Gene would say, we'll all be back for a Friday show tomorrow. Remember, folks, Biden in New York today, raising money with a bunch of Jew haters, defund police, all those folks. My friend Donald Trump in New York today to sit next to John Diller's wife. And my heart and soul go out to the Diller family today. And they should know, I'm sure they weren't listening to these 4 hours, but if they did, great. If not, that all of New York and every good American in this country is with you today. God bless Jonathan Diller. God bless the Diller family. God bless America. See you tomorrow. Peace.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.